B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everybody, on this Thanksgiving Eve. Best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, 610-632-0975. It's me. It's Hunter Brody. It's Connor Thomas. Let's get right to our opening statements. We start with the word of the day. And the word of the day today is thankful. Thankful because that is, after all, the season that we're in right now and throughout the show, in addition to the sports talk. If you want to talk about what you're thankful for, I'm here for it. We'll talk about it today. It'll be the question of the day. A lot of things going on, a lot to talk about. Now, first thing we'll start with, and we'll get to Eagles and everything else, is boy, are TNT and Stan Van Gundy and all them mad today. Aren't they mad today? Because the Sixers, without their top three players out, they beat the Nets in the quitter last night. And boy, does it feel good if you muted the TV. Now, if you did not mute the TV, you heard Stan Van Gundy tell you that Ben Simmons was a great basketball player. So Sixers were winning pretty much after they were down like 10-2. They led the rest of the game. Wire to wire, they dominated that game. They were winning over KD. That was a full-strength Nets team going against a Sixers team missing everybody. And that quitter managed to do it. I hope you picked up your nuggets from the bricking for chicken from that fraud. I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of it. The reason I'm tired of it is because they lied to people. And it's disrespectful to the Philadelphia fans that have been telling everybody about this situation. We will get to positive things in a moment. Don't worry. But are you kidding me last night? That guy had the most Ben Simmons game in the history of Ben Simmons. And we have to hear from the commentators about how great it is and how Philadelphia is not booing enough and just a bunch of gobbledygook from people that don't know what the hell they're looking at. Now, I understand that the national media doesn't watch the Sixers game to game or the Nets game to game or watch games enough to know what's going on. So they have a team of writers who helps them write up the narrative of the game. Starting with the pregame show where Charles and then Shaq's making a fool of himself and Kenny the Jet, but you're not really a Jet. Kenny the Average Smith is just talking rubbish before the game. Then the game starts and they have to do this narrative of how much are they booing them? Why do you care? The Sixers are winning. Why do you care how Philadelphia reacts to a person who quit on the city? Like, I understand it's news. Just say what's happening. Oh, I'm disappointed. I expected Philadelphia fans to be booing. Why? Why? They're happy. Their team's winning. We're rid of that fraud. Like, why? Why, Stan? Stanley, stop. Like, he could have went home. I would have rather have the other two in the booth yesterday than have him. Just shut up, Stanley. And then it's just the Sixers are winning the game. Ben Simmons makes one good play. The Sixers are up 10 points. And here comes, Ben Simmons is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen in my life. Shut up, Stanley. No, he's not. You coach Shaq. You coach Dwayne Wade. And you're talking about how great Ben Simmons is. He doesn't shoot. He had 11 points. 11 rebounds and 7 assists. How many of those Ben Simmons games do we see here where you get those numbers in a loss and we're frustrated, but we're being told about how great it was? Man, that dude, you never win anything with that guy. I am so glad he's gone. I am so glad that I don't have to deal with Stanley Van Gundy ever again, hopefully. I'm muting the whole time. I made it to like the 4-minute mark in the third quarter before I had to say enough is enough. You wouldn't even know that Shake Milton was having a good game, or Melton was having a good game, or Tobias Harris was having a good game, or that the Sixers were just winning. Paul Reed was having maybe his best game of his entire career as far as playing under control, being wreaking havoc on both ends. They didn't talk about the game because they want to stuff down a narrative about a guy who's the laziest, like the most, he's the laziest human being in the history of sports. Let me ask anybody out there, how is Ben Simmons even 1% better now than when they lost to the Hawks? He's had all this time, or 1% better now than when they drafted him? He did the Jordan shrug when he made a free throw. He shot 3 of 6 from the foul line. Like, I'm sorry, I need to get all this out, and then I'll be in a very festive mood. But because I'm happy the Sixers did it. But did anyone else find the, I don't think broadcast would be the word for it, whatever the hell they were doing last night, annoying when we're trying to watch a basketball game?
It was brutal, because if we came out harsher, they'd say, oh, typical Philadelphia being mean and being disgusting. But if we're not loud enough, apparently they demand more. You know why I think it played out the way that it did, outside of your 3 starters not being there? Because that's the obvious number one. But the Sixers were kicking ass. So at one point, we were appreciating what Paul Reed was doing. The fact that with 14, they were down 14 with 3:06 to go, and they're waving the white flag when Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons are all available, and you're down to a lot of some role players, and you still gave up. It's just a loser mentality from them all. So maybe the fans were just excited to root on what they were seeing with the energy. Paul Reed on the defensive side, 3 steals, 2 blocks. He was all over the place. It was great. So that's where I was bothered. It's like, why aren't you focusing on the actual game and what's being done on the floor instead of all the storyline surrounding it? Don't get me wrong. Is it fair to acknowledge that Ben Simmons is making his return to South Philly? No doubt about it, but I think they were trying to reach into it a bit more than what it was, and they set the bar so high, they just lost the actual 48 minutes, and that's what was most disturbing. I'm proud of the way this team played. Tobias Harris, after he leaves, and that looked pretty ugly, too. I mean, it looked like he was in some serious pain. He returns. He's going downhill. George Niang is in the face of Kevin Durant. He's yapping away. And I won't lie, there was a time where I'm thinking, yo, George, all right, let's not wake up the beast here. All right, let's not get too silly. But when P.J. Tucker's defending, he needs to work on the offensive side. I can't believe he airballed the 3 that he did. He looks a bit lost and a bit of the yips, but his defense was ridiculous. I had a lot of fun watching the Sixers last night. I really did, Ty.
In a lot of ways, it was the most fun game so far this year.
Your boy Shake, too. I can't leave him out.
I mean, he was balling. And Booty is correct. In Philadelphia, you earn your boos. The fans booed early because they don't like Ben Simmons. Ben didn't play that well. Despite the fact that they kept trying to tell us how good he was, we actually have eyeballs and know the game of basketball. We've seen that. That's not that special. In fact, the night the Sixers play a back-to-back against the Hornets, I'm sure they're going to have a bit of a mental letdown, the backups, because none of those guys are going to be back tonight. We'll see a better performance from players on the Hornets. Like, 11-11-7, 3 of 6 from the foul line, and 0 points in the fourth quarter? It's just not that impressive. Like, he just didn't do anything for all of it, and it just made it to where the broadcast took away what should have been a nice sports moment. That's all it was. No one, did you say the Sixers are going to win the title now?
No.
Connor, did you say the Sixers are going to win the title now?
Not once.
All we were saying was this was a nice sports moment for our team, and it gets snatched away by Stanley just talking rubbish, just nonstop. And I also came to a bit of a realization. Had Ben actually been balling, we would have probably booed Booty's right. This is all he's ever going to be.
Yep.
This is all he's, like, I already knew. But to see it, he got to change the scenery. He's had 2 coaches since he's last played here. He's got one of the second, third best small forward to ever be born. He plays with a super talented weirdo, and who's also an anti-Semite, but whatever, Kyrie. And with all that in mind, he's exactly the same.
It's because the bar is set so low, because he looked broken for the first couple of weeks. And now that he looks back to himself, but that's what it is. He's back to himself. He's not right. a superstar. He's not a dominant force. The fact that we got James Harden, and there were some in this city that said, no, thank you. I'd rather keep it. It's foolish to think about the trade because of how easily the Sixers won it. But it's because of how foolish and pathetic he looked in the beginning stages of the year where he's airballing layups. Now he's not doing that anymore, so it seems like he's doing way better when he's really not.
And how does that guy help a team win? When the ball,
you small ball five.
Meanwhile, while Stanley's going, look how great he's playing. They were getting whatever they wanted at the rim. Paul Reed was dribble driving. He was doing that turn move and getting layups. Everybody but PJ Tucker was scoring at will. PJ. But the point is, we're gonna talk about that today. 610-632-0975. But obviously, we have a lot to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. We're gonna have fun today. And we're going to, I recognize people are traveling and things like that today. We're going to play 10-second song today. We're going to have a good time doing that. The prize for 10-second song today will be a pair of tickets for Monday's Sixers-Hawks game. To purchase tickets for any 76ers game, visit Ticketmaster.com/76ERS. Make sure you use the number. Ticketmaster.com is the official ticketing partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. We're going to talk about the Eagles. Bryce Harper's having his surgery today. Hopefully at some point today, we'll hear about, before 6 o'clock, we'll hear about, okay, he did a full Tommy John. They did the brace or whatever the heck that they were deciding to do. Hopefully we finally figure that out today. We'll have Eric Carabell on at 3, so get your fantasy football questions in. We'll have Tim McManus on at 4 talking about the Eagles as they prepare for the Packers as they're back at practice. There's a lot going on, but just with the Ben Simmons experience yesterday, did you just come away kind of annoyed while you saw him? You live here. You've seen Ben Simmons play a million times more than Stanley did. And to have him insult us by talking about how that guy's good at basketball, and we can see all he is just a guy who can have some cute regular season games, but when push comes to shove, that next team in the playoffs is going to look exactly like the Sixers teams did with him, in that he's not going to show up, and yet he's got to tell us how great he is. I found it insulting. I feel like he should come on and do some research and know what the heck he's talking about. This was just an annoying situation. But we're going to have fun today. We need to be thankful for what we have in our lives. And thankfully, we don't have to hear from Stanley for quite a while. And that's a good thing because he ruined sports. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. We're today's thankful, despite Stanley's performance last night, as we watched Ben Simmons be Ben Simmons, and he calls, as Boomy calls him, Diet Rondo. We still have a lot to be thankful for. The Sixers did win the game. They just never acknowledged it during the broadcast that the Sixers were actually playing. You'd have thought it was just Ben Simmons in an open gym missing foul shots. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. For equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Penn Salkin, where I grew up, or Westchester today. And now time to start the Twitter poll with Connor Thomas in the day. What's up, Connor?
Hey, Ty. So our Twitter poll for the day is always found at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. Last night, national broadcast was upset that the Sixers crowd didn't boo Ben Simmons as much as they were expecting. If you think that was the case, why? Your options. Enough time has passed. Sixers were winning. The game wasn't important. Or he's not worth the boos. So those are your options for today's poll.
That's interesting. That's interesting. A part of me is looking at his game. He might not be worth the boo.
I agree.
I'm starting to think he's not worth the boo.
That's
where I'm leaning.
Like, this dude's not that good at ball.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was actually giving a lot of credit to the Sixers fans. While we were booing him when he had possession, he's still going to get booed, but we're talking about the intensity of it.
Yeah.
At one point, it's like the Sixers are handling business with their backups and their role players. You're not worth our energy as much as you thought you were.
He's not. And the other part is, maybe it's just time. He doesn't lock you up on defense anymore. When he was on Tobias did whatever he wanted. When he was on Paul Reed did whatever Paul Reed wanted to do. He couldn't switch on anybody. Like, being a year off, and then I got to deal with people like Mark Stein. I want to thank I want to make sure I give credit to every to all the right people. I got to thank my guy Austin Krell. Poor, like Mark Stein. These people are still kissing up to him because he's with Clutch Sports. Let me say, anyone who's rightfully had unbridled hostility towards Benjamin Simmons long before, they should know that the Sixers quit on him first. Shut up, Mark. He doesn't pay you. Like, why would you embarrass yourself like that, Mark Stein?
Shaq did the same thing a bit on the post game yesterday, or pregame.
Yeah, Shaq was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, Shaq last night was embarrassing. Like, is he cutting a check? We keep talking about how Shaq has this money and stuff like that. Nobody did anything to Ben Simmons. He's not a victim. And he's not that good at basketball to be, after a while, that's part of the reason why I was annoyed when they kept talking about him. I see Shake Milton make a three. I'm hearing about Ben Simmons. He's the non-factor in the game. He had 2 points in the second half. Why are we talking about him as the Sixers extend their lead when we are supposed to? I get that pregame and halftime and postgame is going to do their narrative stuff. During the game, the Sixers are pulling away. And after the early little blip, they led wire to wire. And you would have thought Ben Simmons had 40 points. He had 11, 11, and 7. Booney calls him Diet Rondo. Now, here's Mark Stein. I want to appreciate also for sending me this. Simmons played pretty damn well in his first live action at the Wells Fargo Center in 520 days. He amassed 11 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks in 32 forceful minutes that had some moments that suggested he was quite comfortable in this hostile environment. You know, how hostile is the environment of Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and James Harden aren't out there coming downhill on you, and you're in there trying to do your thing against Korkmaz? Like, you're just not going to mention that part?
Yeah, like, it's also November 22nd. What are we talking about? Oh, forceful. Like, what was it? Game one, game two, game three? No.
I'm just confused. And it made something that could have been fun. Like, because not everybody's there. Obviously, it was a sellout crowd. But there's a lot of people around the city watching the game or around the country. If you tuned in, what was being said and what was happening were completely different.
You're absolutely right. De'Anthony Melton had 6 threes. I don't think I even remember his name getting called on the broadcast one time. Instead, they're talking about his MJ shrug. He shot 50% from the line. He actually gave us the shh. He put his finger up to his mouth and shushed us.
What, 11 points?
11 points.
He scores. Like, think about the curve. You mentioned this. It's great. Think about the curve America's grading this guy on, where 11, 11, and 7 is worth a read. Meanwhile, there was a game recently where Joel Embiid had 59. He had a stat line that had never been seen before. And the city of Philadelphia was like, nah, we need more. Just to give an example.
He had 42 the night before.
Right. He had 59 on the second of a back-to-back, having 42 the day before. So he had a 40 and a 59-point double-double with assist and all this other stuff back-to-back. And the city's reaction was, man, we need Joel to do more. Ben Simmons gives you a little piddly 11, 11, and 7, something that anybody can get at any moment and has all the time. And the reaction is, let's write a column about how forceful he was.
Not only that, he's averaging half of what he averaged here in Philly. He would average 16 points per game when he was here in Philly.
Yeah.
He's averaging eight. So what is the grading scale that we're giving this fraud? It's actually unbelievable. I think you nailed it, though, behind the scenes, whether it's Rich Paul, Poor Paul, Clutch Sports. A lot of these people who are speaking above it nationally are trying to keep their connections in check.
Yeah, it has to be that. And that's why, to your point, though, Connor, and I love that poll, yesterday, I already knew, but yesterday was like, you know what? Why would I be all invested in booing Extra Loud and wasting energy on this guy when if that's what he can do, that will never scare me.
Right, because you already got back a guy you like for him. You won the trade. You see that he's not worth anything. He's not even the biggest story on that Brooklyn team. No. He might not be in the top two biggest stories because it might be what's Kevin Durant still doing with this team and what he walked himself into. Why are we supposed to still care?
I felt like, honestly, not only that, yes, I came away after the game being much more angry at Stanley than caring about Ben. It's like,
right.
I got to admit, I think I'm done. I think I'm good. Like, I think I'm good. I think it's fine. Like, I'm good. I don't need any more Ben Simmons in my life. I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm similar.
I mean, I think we know that he's a guy that he'll get his cute little 18-10-6 in regular season games. But when the postseason comes around and you have to run a half-court set with a man who can't shoot the basketball. Another thing, you bring up Stanley all the time. His statements early on in the game, he goes, you know, people just don't give him credit. He's so good in so many areas in this game, except for shooting. What? How do you play this game? What is the purpose of the game? Shoot the basketball. So let's just leave out the biggest issue in spacing. Let's just forget that that exists. What a loser.
It's just right, and that's where I came away more mad at him. Then I was like, I'm fine. I, you know what? Maybe it's best for us that you did
the
quit.
The next TNT broadcast, maybe they'll show Stanley walking in with a big jacket and be like, yeah, hey, he's ready for the boost tonight.
Stanley knows he's going to get harassed tonight. Let's get Mike with being patient. Mike in Creekside, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, gentlemen? I got one takeaway that I didn't like. Bringing Harden in, not saying I didn't like Simmons going out, but I didn't like bringing Harden in. And last night proved that there was such a flow to the game. Now, that's something that y'all are missing.
Mike, they're not going to win a lot of games sustain-wise with this lineup.
Now, you do know that that was like why it was fun was because it was a one-game type of fluke thing.
Yeah, but I still do not like Harden. The game had a flow to it. I do not like Harden at the top of the key.
Right.
Turning around there and doing a pound in the cha-cha and then waiting to 4 seconds on the clock and then look to pass the ball to a corner.
So, Mike, I hear that. So when they were trading Ben Simmons, because remember, Ben Simmons quit. He wasn't going to play here anymore. You have to remember that. Ben Simmons was not going to play here anymore. And the Halliburton trade, the Kings said no to that. The Kings solved Ben Simmons and decided, I'd rather have Sabonis than in return. I don't want Ben Simmons. What would you have done?
I'm not saying that I want Ben Simmons.
Well, but you call in complaining about Harden after they win when Harden doesn't play. What I'm saying is, Mike, what is your alternative?
Close the game down. I am not. It has nothing to do with. Harden slows the game down.
He does.
He does.
Right. I think in the postseason, though, with him and the basketball in his hands, when the game is slowed down, I think you might actually benefit from that skill set to a degree.
Right. And do you really think that that's sustainable, Mike, what you saw last night with no Embiid, no Harden, no Maxey?
No. Well, you would have Embiid. I'm only talking about James Harden.
Right. So you do know. That with what we're talking about today with the Ben Simmons.
I'd rather have him coming off the bench.
Oh, man.
So thanks for the call, Mike. Have a great holiday, buddy. Have a great holiday. I'm not going to convince somebody about the Harden trade. I'm not going to relitigate it. The bottom line is Daryl Morey had an asset in Ben Simmons that wasn't going to be here. So he tried to get the best trade possible, and he got back James Harden, whether you love his game or not. Because the Halliburton thing turned out to be a pipe dream because Sacramento wanted Sabonis.
That was the takeaway yesterday, Ty.
That's the first thing.
That was the takeaway yesterday.
Like, and I'm not even, the ball does stick. 6-1, the ball does stick. It does. But we've seen him do more than 11-11-7. It doesn't matter. 610-632-0975. We'll get to a lot more calls on the other side here on 97.5 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is thankful. We are thankful. We're thankful for all of you. We have a lot in our lives to be thankful for. I know things may not go exactly how you want it to go, but we made it to another Thanksgiving, and that is a blessing after all. But we're talking about the Sixers last night because it was a national game. Everybody's watching it. There was obviously no Flyers yesterday. We're all locked in yesterday with the Sixers for the most part. And what should have just been a fun night just turned into a bunch of gobbledygook about a guy who just, and I knew he wasn't that guy for a while. Like, but I thought, okay, we're around KD and Kyrie and all this stuff. Maybe he can show something new. He's the 50% from the foul line, zero jump shots. Did you see him trying to back down Paul Reed and do that turnaround hook? That thing is flat off the back iron, leads to a fast break. Shaq at halftime, I love the aggression. Shut up, Shaquille. Like, a Shaquille, Stanley, all of you. Like, Kenneth, like, calm down. Like, this guy is just not that guy. And what should have been a fun night was just overtaken with just garbage. Like, you mentioned during the break, Melton played really well. And that's something we can take going forward. Melton, that for a Danny Green who was hurt, that was a great trade by Dal Moore. And we can talk about, like, wow, maybe when everybody gets back, Melton was like a real sixth man, or maybe he can start and do something. Instead, it was about the Australian who's the same player, and then I got to deal with people. Oh, look, did you see he was nice to some people? Who cares? Who cares that he signed an autograph for an eight-year-old? These eight-year-olds don't know his sins. That eight-year-old's going to throw that, first of all, it's not going to be worth any money because he's not special. He's going to throw that autograph or that selfie in the trash as soon as he figures out how terrible Ben is. Like, it was just so strange. Like, oh, look how well he's handling the crowd that's up by 10 and happy. Well, of course that's easy. They were up by 10 and happy. Like, they were up double digits, and they were just going, man, look at the speed of Ben Simmons as he streaks up the floor to pass to Claxton.
It was absolutely absurd. Now, I got a question for you. Did Doc Rivers coach this game?
It's funny you say that. He did coach
that game. I'm not the biggest Doc guy in the world. I just find it funny that he only coaches the ridiculous losses, but when you're down three starters and you win pretty good, nothing. That's all. I'm not the biggest Doc guy. It's funny.
From like the 9-minute mark in the first quarter, from like after the first like 3 minutes, the Sixers won the game by 20 points. Doc coached that game. Like, and he'll get no credit. But if they lose tonight on the second of a back-to-back without those guys, there'll be someone starting their Thanksgiving off with a fire Doc chant. That part is where it goes.
You know what? I wouldn't even be surprised if we get that today. After yesterday, they didn't like, I don't know, the usage of someone. Even Korkmaz had a three fade into the left.
Doc found a way to make guys play hard last night and to not just get overwhelmed by the fact that they didn't have their players. Yes, it's one game, but that's a well-coached game by Doc Rivers.
Yeah, and let's put it in perspective, right? Because this, how many times do we go, oh, my God, I can't believe the Sixers lost game 32 on a Tuesday night to a shorthanded Indiana team.
Right.
And it's like that happens throughout an 82-game schedule. This is us getting the reward on this night. It happens all the time.
Immediately after the game, I had said, we're about to run the phones. Don't worry, people. I had said when they hired Jock Vaughn, instead of going out there Udoka with all the other trouble, adding more toxicity to that whole situation, that was a smart hire. Did you know there was a guy on Twitter who right at a Sixers fan who immediately was like, see, Tyrone, you said Jock Vaughn was a good coach. I'm like, what? What? Where are we at? Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? What? Go away. Like, why are we doing this? Like, because these things do happen along the league. Like, every good team is going to lose to a bad team when they're not supposed to. The point is, when you're watching the game, is to enjoy enjoy it happening. Like, when Niang's talking trash to Durant, like, it's fun.
Twice.
Right, it's fun. When Shake Milton, who was basically out of the rotation, is now making shots and playing his old man game and getting in the paint and doing his stuff, it's fun. Like, the whole point was that last night was going to be fun. And then between Stanley and then people on social media looking to not have fun, it made something that was fun into kind of like an annoyance. When it didn't, there was no reason to be annoyed.
Shake's got some layers to his offense. He really does.
He doesn't rely on his athleticism. And that's what I liked about him in the beginning. The problem is he hasn't found consistency.
Yeah.
But if he does, he actually is a tough cover because no one really plays like him. Like, he doesn't really need a pick because he's not going to blow by you anyway, but he's got that herky-jerky, and he's got long arms and stuff like that. He just, But maybe with Melton, maybe with Melton, they like you, Milton
it's,
Melton.
It's like, you know, when you see a lefty, they always look kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like Shake just kind of plays at that pace that's in between that's kind of weird to guard. Yeah. Like he's a half step behind where you think he should be with his athleticism.
You're right. That's what weird. It is. But then when you go to block it, because he's 6'5", like 6'11", wingspan, oh no, you fouled him, even though you're faster, taller, more athletic than him, because he does play that herky-jerky thing. See, and that's what should have been talked about a little bit, watching the
that
game.
That would have been fun to hear.
Former NBA head coach Stanley. Instead, did you know that Ben Simmons on that pass that was a turnover? It was his vision, was the greatest vision in the history of the NBA for a player who can't score 20 points. Like, shut up, Stanley. Like, I felt like what was the show? Sister Sister. Wasn't that guy Stanley? I felt I was on Sister Sister yesterday.
Tia and Tamara?
Yeah, I felt like I was Tia and Tamara going, Stanley, go home, Stanley. That's how I felt. Watching that basketball game rather than just having a fun night as we prepare for the holidays. That's all. All right. Said we were going to run the phones. We're going to have our 10-second song. You're playing for Sixers tickets. And make sure to get to Connor, myself, and to Hunter getting your fantasy football questions because Eric Carabell will be answering them at 3 o'clock. Brett in South Philly, you're our 97.5 to Fanatic.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
How are you?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, first of all, you're absolutely right. Ben Simmons is not worth the boos. I mean, he probably would have gotten booed if he ever had the ball in his hands in crunch time, but that's never going to happen again. He doesn't want the ball in crunch time, and he's never going to play with anybody that's going to give him the ball when it really matters.
You're right, he's probably hurt. When he was standing sitting at the podium yesterday, and he was like, I thought it was going to be louder. I think that bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he thought he was worth more to us than he actually is.
Yeah, and I think that was pretty evident with the crowd last night. I mean, that's a knowledgeable crowd that's there, and, mm-hmm. and I mean, they know he's just not worth it. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Right. It was like everybody was mad at first, and once we actually saw him, we were like, eh. Why? Like, it's not worth it. Go ahead, Brett.
No, the other problem is with the way, like, these nationally televised games anymore, everything's these, like, reunion games where guys are going to their old teams. So
mm-hmm.
when the narrative of the game doesn't go that way, these announcers don't know what to talk about. I mean, the Sixers were having a great game. And they couldn't help, you know, because all they studied and all they wanted to talk about was Ben Simmons coming back to Philly. And that's the way with football games, too. I mean, it's always like that.
Yeah, and you're right, Brett. And the part that's annoying for me is that it was a fun game. And like, those guys, like Candace Parker knows basketball. You can just tell me, like, why the Sixers are winning the game. Or you can say, wow, we expected the Nets to be dominating, but Paul Reed and blah, blah. We weren't getting any of that. They just tripled and quadrupled down on a narrative instead of just letting us enjoy the basketball league. Let me give you a chance to win your Sixers tickets here. You get the first song. Go right ahead there, Connor.
Is it Jump by the Pointer Sisters?
It's not, but hold on, you get a save. Because now you're in charge. No, I'm just saying, you have to go to a person.
Unfortunately, I don't have the answer.
All right, sorry there. That is Eddie Murphy, Party All the Time.
Ah, okay.
Now, I will say, out of the songs, we also have one impossible song. You saw that mark there, Connor. If it might just come along, but if you request the impossible, you now get help from both Hunter and Booney. Booney did get the first one, so he's locked in.
Okay.
As far as the help. And the impossible one is worth 3 correct answers. So you go into the hat that Dylan will, who answers the phone, you go in 3 times if you get the impossible one.
That's a big advantage right
there. That's a big advantage. But the song is significantly harder in that. But I will tell you, there's one hint. It was number 1 overall in the charts at one point.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that the first 10 seconds of it are easy to get, though.
Right.
But it was not a super obscure song.
Now, back to the broadcast real quick. There was a time where I actually, and it shouldn't stick out this much, but it stuck mm-hmm. out like a sore thumb because they were talking nonsense majority of the time. But they were explaining how the Nets were switching on defense and the mm-hmm. Sixers were doing a good job drawing out the big man, which helped them get some good looks and all. And I'm like, wow, They actually talked about the game. But in what world should I be watching a 48-minute basketball game and it be highlighted on when they actually talked about basketball? Right. If anything, it should be the other way around.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like it's actually absurd that I could point out one of the very few times they talked strategic strategy in basketball. That's crazy.
It was unbelievable. And whenever they tried Ben as a small ball five, it was disastrous for him.
So brutal.
And they never mentioned it.
I guess
he was minus nine in the game, by the way. He was minus nine in the game.
I thought maybe you could use that. I guess I'm an idiot for thinking. I didn't think it would be as bad. Did you think it would be that ugly?
He's uncomfortable. First of all, he looks uncomfortable defensively, period, on the ball.
No doubt.
I think what he is now at this point is a good help defender. He was helping to get those steals and things. But as far as an on-ball guy right now, nothing special.
Yeah, people pick on him at this point. Yeah, maybe not pick, but they're not afraid to have him on. That used to never be the case.
Paul Reed had him on the elbow. He got to the rim every single time. Like, sometimes Paul Reed missed because he's Paul Reed, and he's throwing like he's going up all wild. But Paul Reed was able to get to the rim on him from the elbow, because not like Paul Reed's catching it in the post and working moves like Elijah was. He was catching it at the elbow, doing a simple swim move, and beating Ben to the spot every possession.
How about the offensive rebounds against the boards? Yeah,
they're attacking the boards, and the Nets don't really want to run. So you can't, because one of the things you can do, you can exploit it. If a team crashes, you can exploit it. They don't really want to run. They want to take their time, and you got a lot of, like, nicked up guys. Like, is Curry ever going to be healthy again?
No. When he gets going, he is a fun watch. But
how long's that ankle been messed up?
Years.
Literally, that ankle has been bothering him. He's had surgeries and everything. They're saying he's still trying to get going. We've been saying that for, like, 18 months. that team's not winning anything. They'll have some nights. Oh, they scored 140 points because Kyrie got 40 and KD got 40 and Ben got 10, 10, and 10 triple-double. Ooh! Ooh! Wow! Sean in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Sean.
Hey, yeah, I was going to say, because I feel the same way you feel, like, when it comes to the national media. But what they don't realize is, I'm not going to say we're a smart fan base. It's when it comes to the Phillies, the Eagles, the Flyers, and the Sixers. We're an experienced fan base. We've been there. We've been too close. We had close losses. We had losses. See, good seasons, bad seasons. So we've seen it all. So yes, when you trade players like I feel like we was the first to tank. So when we tank for a guy like Ben Simmons, to us, it's like you're pulling our leg. So, no, we're not going to boo him. Why are we booing him and we're winning?
like we're happy. Like, as the game, a lot of fans had less energy to start because they're like, oh no, we're going to get blown out. We don't have our top three players. Then they're down early and the fans are obviously quiet. Then next thing you know, the Sixers are up 5, up 10. And then the lead's not dwindling. Doc Rivers calls a timeout when they fall behind 1. 2 possessions later, up 5 because they hit 2 straight threes. The crowd's like,
exactly.
Why would I boo? This is good. This is great.
Right. I actually want to see what we got with no Embiid,
right,
no Maxey, and no Harden. It's like, this is the best game. I think we would have lost if we had them. You know what I mean? Like, but of course, I think they play with Vegas too, man. I ain't gonna lie. The media is, oh, Ben Simmons, look at his numbers. So everybody on them live bets going to go grab the Nets. If one more person say the Nets, I gotta take the Sixers.
you know what? That's I can't rule anything out because I don't know the layers of the corporate. Like, here's our gambling partner, the official gambling partner of this and that. Use floorsweat.net and do all this stuff. So, like, you don't know. I can't rule any of it out. But I'm glad you noticed what we were talking about, Sean. Where it's like they kept saying Nets, Sixers make a 3. What the Nets did there was, or the Sixers just made a 3-pointer to go up 12. Like, you it's just...
Right.
Oh, boy. Here is your song, though, for a chance to win Sixers tickets. It's a tough one, but it was a number one hit, and Timbaland produced it.
Timberland produced that. I don't know.
I feel like when you tell me, I'm going to be disappointed.
Sorry, buddy. Have a good holiday.
Wait, you don't have this one either?
No, I feel like I'm going to be extremely disappointed.
It's One Republic Apologize.
It is Timberland
is in it.
That's a great song.
Damn.
Yeah, too late.
Yeah. I could.
That was like freshman year of high school for us.
Yeah, I could feel it.
We should know that.
Yeah, I could feel it, but I knew I'd be disappointed.
And Timberland was the producer. He's in the video.
Yeah.
Doing that. He's doing that sound effect. Yeah.
That song had a run for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it was number one. No, almost every song wasn't just top 40. Like, most of the songs today were number one on the charts.
Yeah, it's one of those songs where I think I heard it so much, but by the end, I'm like, I can't continue to hear this song.
The start was tough. That wasn't the easiest one. I believe this one could be easy. Let's go to Kevin in Lansdowne. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going today, man?
All right, how are you?
You know what? I have so many mixed emotions coming into that game. And I'm like you, Tyrone. The commentary was so bad that it actually took the sting that I had for Ben Simmons, and I actually started directing it towards them. And when the game was over, I actually have no more hard feelings towards Ben Simmons because the commentary, it killed the game for me. If I can just point out two situations last night that had me over the top. First off, before the game even starts, I have to listen to the sideline reporter give us an inside look on how Ben Simmons meditates to get himself locked in before the game. I don't care. And I don't think anybody cares how Ben Simmons gets ready for a game. That was the first one. And then the second one, I don't know if you guys remember it, but it was Ben Simmons on a fast break. And he hit Seth Curry in the corner for a three. And it was the most basic pass ever. And I had to hear Candace Parker, oh, you see, that's what they brought Ben here for. Did you see the way that he stopped and he let Steph Curry get his feet set and gave him a pass right in the shooting pocket? It was a basic pass.
I actually remember that one.
You're absolutely right. It was a super basic pass.
It was a basic pass.
He's wide open.
Playing the passing lane. It destroyed the game for me.
And that's where I was. Like, they're packing in because they had, like, a mini break going. So the defenders were backing into the paint, whether they should or shouldn't. So they kick it out to Curry. There's no one on the screen in a Sixers uniform. And he said, and she's going, what a pick. That's why you have Ben Simmons to pass to a guy where no one's defending him. He didn't thread the needle. He didn't have to do any timing. It was just Curry. We've seen it how many times when he was here. One of those situations where the defense collapses. He's wide open out there. And Simmons threw just a mediocre, a nothing pass to him. And he makes a three. That right there. That is how you get Ben Simmons. You know what? Here is your song, Kevin.
Okay.
Their first hit. Their first number one hit.
Was that Destiny's Child, Bills?
That is correct. Song was Bills, but that's close.
Yeah, enough. I mean,
that's
it's the same word over and over.
Yeah, but that was their first number one hit. Obviously, between them and Beyonce, there's been quite a few since then.
Hunter, did you have the save on that one? You look perplexed still.
It's one of those ones where I know it, and then I just can't get to it. But yeah, I didn't have
any better out of you.
I know what's
3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we're going to need more than 3 o'clock hour, 4 o'clock hour, 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
All right. When the closer's hurt. Like Ricky's not here, you need somebody from the pen that usually pitches in the sixth to step up and finish it out. He's pitched three straight days. He's unavailable.
Well, I might be Brandon Workman. I don't know.
No, don't go Workman on us. If you're Tommy Hunter, we're in trouble.
Right.
Well, you can't be seeing Tommy Hunter in there.
Tommy Hunter might work here.
Alvarado from the time he came back from the minors up into the World Series.
I might be Alvarado versus Alvarez in the final game.
No, we can't have that. I'm just saying.
No.
On the other side, we'll have your fantasy football questions answered. Then we'll get to more of your phone calls. A lot more to get to today as we're trying to be thankful on this Thanksgiving Eve. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays every bit as good. On the line right now, obviously because he's on usually on Thursdays, but Thanksgiving is tomorrow's Mr. Eric Carabel, brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. If you're getting engaged, visit Family & Company Jewelers for your fantasy engagement ring. Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. How are you today, Eric?
I'm great. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, sir. We start the same way each and every week. We have Eagles-Packers coming up. Eagles finally coming off a, well, I should say coming off a victory. They win a lot. We know who's usually the plays on the Eagles side. Who are the must starts on the Packers side?
Yeah, it's another scary game because this is a team that can run the football. Aaron Jones is a very good running back. It's inconsistent volume, but you would assume that the Packers would give him some good volume this week against the Eagles. Now, the Eagles stopped the run last week after the first drive, but Aaron Jones will keep on trying. It'll be a cumulative effort there. Their wide receivers, I mean, Christian Watson's been hot with touchdowns the past couple of weeks. We don't have him in our top 25, but he's close to that. But again, top cornerbacks he'll face this week. Aaron Rodgers, not a top 15 quarterback for the season or this week. If the Eagles can run the ball, I think good things will happen. Otherwise, they'll just have to rely on Jalen Hurts again.
All right, let's kick things off with Jack. He needs a wide receiver, Gallup or People Jones?
Neither come all that recommended, to be honest. Gallup's been a huge disappointment, and Dak Prescott's throwing plenty. People's Jones would be the call this week. By the way, Cleveland's Jacoby Brissett is doing fine, actually. He's outscored Lamar Jackson over the past 10 weeks, so he's doing okay. This will be his last outing, and you know he wants to make a statement. I'll go People's Jones.
All right. Quarterback here. We've got Brady, Mariota, or Garoppolo, and Garoppolo actually got me a ton of points last week.
He did, and he's actually been playing really well. I still rank Brady the number one guy out of these three guys here. Mariota's matchup against Washington, not that great. Washington's been okay against quarterbacks for the most part. And Brady, as bad as everyone thinks he's been, has still been like number 12, number 13 for the season. Cleveland can be thrown on all of a sudden. I would still go with Brady.
Dylan needs one in his PPR. Valdez-Scantlin, Thielen, or Latavius Murray?
I think it's Latavius Murray. They outright dumped Melvin Gordon, which is shocking, but well worth the wait. Latavius Murray will be their starting running back because nobody else is going to steal touches from. He can catch passes. He'll get the goal line stuff. He's almost a top 20 running back for us this week, Latavius Murray is.
I got one asking about the Kansas City running back situation. He had a little move with on IR this week. So who do you think will be in the pecking order for running back in Kansas City?
Well, they've been doing this for the past couple of weeks now. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not had much of a role at all in November. Isaiah Pacheco, the Rutgers kid, who really didn't run all that well at Rutgers, is now getting plenty of volume, but only as a runner. He's not getting any passes thrown in his direction. Jerick McKinnon is the third down back. So they pretty much split things. If you're in a PPR, I still think McKinnon is probably the better choice there. But in a standard, obviously Pacheco, he can get 80 rushing yards every week, and I think this week they're going to give him plenty of chances against a team in the Rams that just looks kind of like done right now.
Yeah, this is a personal question for me, and I don't know if I'm overthinking it, but for my tight end, Higbee or Hooper?
Well, we don't know if Stafford's going to be able to play this week, and if he can't, that's a big deal because the backup there, Bryce Perkins, is more of a runner than a thrower. So if you wanted to kind of go away from Higbee, I don't have any problem with that. People got so excited last week about Allen Robinson, and look what he did. Nothing, yet again. The Rams look done. So I would try not to rely on any Rams this week. And that goes for Higbee as well. I mean, Hooper, I think, is fine. You'd be hoping for a touchdown or a long play, but he has just as much a chance as Higbee.
Personal one as well here. So with the quarterback change happening in New York with the Jets, where does James Robinson's value go? Is he a start now?
I don't think his value actually rises. I think Garrett Wilson's value, the wide receiver, and perhaps the tight end Conklin. I mean, at least this guy, Mike White, can throw the ball downfield. You might get two or three interceptions in this game, but at least he'll throw the ball downfield and won't be scared. And the Bears do get thrown on. As far as James Robinson, they're not throwing him the ball out of the backfield, which is kind of weird because that's something he can do really well. So Michael Carter is still the every down back for them, and James Robinson really hasn't done much the past couple of weeks. Maybe that changes now, but I don't see the quarterback change affecting the running backs all that much. It'll give them more space. But I think Garrett Wilson, I moved him up at least five spots after the quarterback change.
Eric Carabell's giving us fantasy information as he does each week. This person is looking for a tight end because Goddard is out. Moreau, Ingram, Gesicki, or Juwan Johnson?
I like Juwan Johnson. I mean, it's one thing to say he's New Orleans' top touchdown maker on receptions, but he's gone into the top 10. He's the last 5 weeks in ESPN Fantasy Leagues, he's a top 10 tight end. He doesn't get a ton of targets, but those other guys don't either. So to me, Juwan Johnson, I mean, they throw him in the red zone. That's enough for me to make him a top 10 guy.
All right, Tony's looking for a running back. Kareem Hunt or Brian Robinson?
Neither come recommended, honestly. I mean, Cleveland's running game was shut down last week, but Nick Chubb is going to bounce back. He'll be fine against Tampa Bay. Hunt just doesn't get enough volume, not like he was early in the year. And Brian Robinson, as we've seen in the game against Washington, they've gone back to Antonio Gibson. He's the one catching passes. And at the goal line, it's kind of don't get into the goal line. So, Brian, I think Brian Robinson, a little bit more volume here, but neither. You really have to do a little bit better. If Latavius Martin's available in your league, and he's still available in a lot of ESPN leagues, I'd go with him over either of these guys.
I'm looking here. This person's looking for a flex. Looks like he has a pretty good squad. Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore, McLaurin, or Christian Watson as a flex?
I mean, I think McLaurin's your first option here. I mean, as long as Washington sticks with Heineke, who's not great, but he at least is accurate and gets the ball to McLaurin, whereas the other guy, the former Eagle, wasn't getting the ball to McLaurin. So if I'm ranking these guys, McLaurin comes first, Johnson comes second, DJ Moore comes third.
All right, speaking of McLaurin, Adams looking for a flex. Well, Washington on Washington crime, Antonio Gibson or Terry McLaurin?
I think it's Gibson there. I mean, it's based on touches more than anything else. McLaurin would have to get into the end zone, I think, because Gibson's probably going to get 15 touches as he does every week. And as long as he's catching passes, it's almost like he is McLaurin, but with 10 rushing attempts as well. So Gibson, we kind of wrote him off in late September, but he's back in play as a borderline running back too.
And this is for PPR league, Latavius Murray, Drake London, or Darius Slayton.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously got to be Murray here. And he probably would have been even if Melvin Gordon were still on the team. But if you're wondering about these wide receivers, the Giants, I don't know how they're going to be able to throw on Dallas. I don't know how they're going to be able to protect their quarterback. Dallas is a very good pass rush, obviously, with Michael Parsons. So Slayton is basically the Giants' top receiver right now. And that includes Saquon, who's getting no catches here. So if it's between Slayton and London for second on this list, it still has to be Slayton because when Daniel Jones throws, I don't know where he's going to throw if it's not to Slayton.
Mark needs two of these three, DJ Moore, Boyd, or Juju.
We hope Juju plays, obviously. I mean, obviously, Ricky wants him to play. He's been talking about him all season long. Juju, I think it was a concussion that he missed last week's game. But we're hearing he's going to practice this week and obviously going up against L.A. He should be able to do some things there. So if Juju plays, and I think we'll know this in the next day or two, he would be the choice here. I mean, DJ Moore, they're going now back to a different quarterback again. I'm not sure it even matters. Carolina's offense is just such a mess. So Juju first, he doesn't play, then DJ Moore. We think Jamar Chase is playing for Cincinnati, which kind of makes Boyd not a top 50 receiver.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for the time. As usual, great information. You have a great holiday, but what is your score for Sunday?
I'm not going to pick the Eagles to lose this one. I want them to beat Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to say like 24-10, though. I think the Packers are going to have some trouble moving the ball. So 24-10 Eagles.
I agree with you there, and thanks so much, and have a good holiday.
Good holiday to you as well. Thanks.
All right, that was Eric Carabell brought to us by Family & Company Jewelers. If you're getting engaged, visit Family & Company Jewelers for your fantasy engagement ring. Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. And before we go to break, let's get Keith in here. He's been being patient, talking about the game last night. Keith in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Keith.
Hi, how you guys doing?
All right, how are you?
Great, great, great. I was, I believe it or not, I meditated while I was waiting for you.
Oh, like just like Ben, just like Ben, yeah, to get ready, yeah, for the game, yeah.
I was enjoying the game, and then I saw this face on the screen with his eyes closed, and I'm thinking, what happened? And they're talking about this fool meditating. It seems like, I'm like Michael Corleone. That's when I get him out of my system, they bring him back. And they have his face on the screen meditating.
Well, was it possible? I didn't know. I didn't listen to the whole thing. But could he just be closing his eyes? Like, how do we know the deep level of meditating that he was going through? Could it possibly just be standing there with his eyes closed? I don't know. Maybe they went into detail about it.
And what? No. And what are they worried about? Oh, no, this guy's about to make $30 million a year to play basketball. He's got to get his self-centered. Like, I'm all for meditation or anything to get your mind right. Yeah. But let's not pretend like this guy is in a real hazardous situation. The fans weren't even really booing him. They were just like, oh, he's the same guy.
They did say he did 30 to 60 seconds, and I'm like, that's ridiculous.
That's not enough time
to talk about stuff like that. But the game was great anyway. We won it. The bench won it. So we can, you know, that's a, they're not going to be consistently able to do that, but they will, that's got to boost their confidence.
Absolutely.
To win like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one thing I think, KD only took 14 shots. PJ Tucker, if you hold KD to 14 shots, you're in a really good spot.
Right now, he couldn't throw a basketball in the ocean. But yeah.
He took the night off, too.
But he did D up on KD. He plays defense. He gives effort every night. Just, he's got to make a layup tonight. Or if he plays on a back-to-back, I guess he'll have to because it's raining. Here is your song, Keith, for your chance to win
the Sixers. All right, here's my song. All right.
This much. All the girls stomp your feet like this. Few times you've been around that track, so it's not just gonna happen like that, cause it ain't no hollaback.
Hollaback?
Nah, we're gonna need the whole thing. Need the whole thing there. You can do the save.
Ain't no hollaback?
No.
What's the next word?
Y'all?
Hollaback girl?
Hollaback girl is correct.
That's right. Here we go.
When is that?
No, no. Don't you hear we go. That.
You loaded the bases.
That's got to be like a lockdown.
Yeah,
you got to get that.
It said hollaback, and then what? Hollaback
one. You're Alec Boehm right there. You just got hit by the pitch, and you're giving us a let's go.
That was a big play.
You're like Colin Thomas.
That was not a big play.
Easy.
I got a championship to back mine up at least.
Now it's all good, right?
Hollaback girl. We're not celebrating hollaback girl now. I know.
You barely got it.
Come on.
6120975. Jake, you'll be first. 6106320975. What it is, thank for us. We're thankful for Thanksgiving. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. Best show ever. 6106320975. Thanksgiving Eve. About to get back to the phones, but Thanksgiving Eve, the biggest drinking day of the year.
Yep.
Now, Connor, Hunter, are you guys going back to the old stomping grounds tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be back in Haynesport, New Jersey.
Oh, back to your old hood.
Of course.
What about you going back to the old hood?
Nah, I'm chilling. We normally do a Friendsgiving on this day where we get about 10 of us and we chill, but this year's the first time in a couple years we're not doing it. So I'm just chilling.
Just chilling.
I'm beat up a little bit. I need to put the sweats on, kick back, and just take a deep breath.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, people out there, are you, what are you doing for your Thanksgiving Eve? And then, is there a cutoff for this? Like, is there an age where you're not supposed to go back to the old hood anymore?
I've been seeing this, that there's like, oh, if you're over 25, you shouldn't be out tonight or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
25's too young. I mean, no, I don't think, because even if you're, let's say, 40 and you go back to a bar that you used to go to in a different town, I don't think that there's an issue with that at all.
No, you just have to conduct yourself differently. You can't go back and
raging.
Yeah, exactly. But what? This is the point of being back in your hometown, is to go out to the bars. There's no age limit on this. That's why it's a beautiful night.
And you hope to run into some people you like from the past that you don't see all the time. And, hey, how you doing? How you been?
Yeah, like Rick is up in Connecticut. You don't think he's having some cold ones with the people up there in his own stomping grounds?
I imagine Ricky will have a beverage or two.
I would think so. And
so,
that's
okay. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I got to go get on a train. I'm going up to New York to the parade.
I'm jealous.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
I've never done it before.
Sounds like a good time.
It's going to be interesting. You
excited?
Know, No.
No?
But I am. I'm excited. It's going to be different going up there. I got the dinner reservation for tomorrow in the afternoon, but that'll be okay. I'm looking forward to it. It's just got to be an early morning to get a spot.
Yeah, it's not going to be as rough as New Year's, at least. If you go up there for New Year's, I think you're nuts.
I wouldn't go to Times Square, New Year's. I hate it there, but I hate it. Hate Times Square. But in the case of this, I got to go uptown to get a spot early enough in the day and not have to deal with as big a crowd.
Now, what's the bathroom situation like?
I got to work that out.
Yeah, that's the only thing I was wondering throughout the process is when you're standing there all day, at some point, right?
Backpacking a couple bottles, boys. Strap up. Let's go.
That was my first thought, but you can't do that.
What do you mean?
You can't do that.
Long coat.
Now that's a Connor
answer. Water bottles.
Now that's what I would
long
expect.
Long coat. A couple water bottles. And
you
got to
do what you got. Listen, it's not ideal. It's not the preferred method. But
I'd rather only see part of the parade than do that.
Well, yeah, that's number one option. I'm saying if you're going to stay there, though.
No.
Oh, don't. Like, I wasn't jumping at the opportunity to go to the bathroom in a bottle.
Take a couple
pictures. But if I have to stay there.
And then shut it down.
That's cool with me, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the question is, how would your wife feel after this big trip? And then 20 minutes in, it's, hey, babe, I got to go to the bathroom.
It won't be saying, because bottles. I have to go.
Okay, fair point.
What if she has to go?
That's right.
She can't do that.
No.
Yeah. So you just got, apparently, you just suck it up and you figure it out.
Yeah. All right.
See how that goes.
After a couple cold ones, too, I'm sure you
I'm
got
not having a couple cold ones 6 a.m.
No?
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. I thought that fit your energy.
6 a.m.
You like to have some fun on the weekends.
Yeah, but that's early.
It's so early, it's not too early to have a drink. Like,
it's like airport rules?
Right. Once you hit 8 a.m., it's too early to have a drink. But if you're before that, you're still early enough that you're kind of in this twilight zone.
So now we know how Connor gets ready for the John Kincaid show.
No. I'm up at 4. That's still hungover from the night before. Who knows what's going on?
All right.
Just don't tell them that.
That's fair. That is fair.
No one's listening, right?
Nah. Nobody's listening or watching. Let's go back to the folks. Jake in Roxborough. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Tyrone. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to talk about last night's game. So,
So
going into tonight's game, it's really a shame because, like, from the looks of it, it was, it's a pretty anticlimactic game with everyone injured and being that, it's a Tuesday night, it's a random Tuesday night in November. And, from a fan perspective, not really the most ideal situation for, the long-awaited Ben's return. It's very ideal for Ben, though. Extremely ideal. I feel like it was very low pressure for him.
Yep.
I was kind of expecting a little bit more, but not really. He kind of showed us exactly who he is, like he has for the past 5 years. But, with regards to the low boos that the national media is claiming that, Philly was giving him, it was just a mixture of just low attendance, obviously, because the three people that accounted for like 80% of our offense just wasn't there. So obviously people aren't going to show up the game to watch, Tobias Harris. No disrespect to Tobias Harris because he played a great game, but he's not packing the doors in the Wells Fargo Center, but it was just a mixture of just low attendance and just like,
well, so it was a sold out game.
You think? Oh, what?
I know. Yeah. It wasn't, I didn't state an opinion.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
it
yeah.
was a sold out. It was a sold out game, and everybody was packed. It wasn't low attendance. It was just Ben's not that good. But thanks for the call, there, Jake. Where was he going?
I think he was saying that because the three guys weren't there, it played a. It wasn't. It was the what was surrounded the game of Maxey and Embiid and Harden being out was part of the reason why it wasn't as intense as we thought. He just kind of went in some circles there. That's all. A little bit.
Is that what he meant?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, yeah. He was going there. Or he actually already stated that and then kind of went around a little bit.
Because, they showed the crowd. There were empty seats. They cut. Everybody saw Kate Scott.
Kate Scott was
getting that. She moves off.
Yeah, I didn't know she had any of that in her bag. Yeah. Did y'all know that she had any of that in her bag?
We didn't have a chance yet to. We'll learn a lot more about her as the years continue.
Every time there's a national game, I guess now they might as well have her be part of the halftime.
And that wasn't one of the cheap repeat moves. She was breaking out new stuff every couple seconds. She was up on the board. Okay.
She didn't have one go-to move.
No, she's got a deep bag.
The sprinkler.
Right, right.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Love
the shopping cart. The shopping cart where you go through the shopping cart. That's another one.
The dad with the bad slow cabbage patch. What is all this?
Oh,
dad, he's going. Oh, yeah, you never seen that?
I've seen that. I guess I never put it together with the cabbage.
That's what it is.
Oh, okay, I got it.
It's cold.
Okay,
yeah, come on.
It's kind of like a little Joey. Joey does that in Friends a little bit.
That's
but it's not the Joey. It's the cabbage.
It's the cabbage patch. Joey was trying to steal it.
I'm a Joey man. He's the best on Friends.
He's
Chandler is, but
Taylor is not the best on Friends either.
Well,
Ross is actually the best.
I'm a big Rachel guy, but that's
we're talking about the guys.
There's no way you can say Ross is the best on Friends.
Ross is the best on Friends.
That's like crazy. You should be in jail.
Says Ross. All right. Hold on.
He doesn't suck.
Every year, Friends would do a Thanksgiving episode. Remember, they played football and all that kind of stuff.
One of the best episodes ever.
And you mean to tell me that Ross going against his sister in football didn't make that episode?
No, because Chandler and Joey were fighting over the chick. And then Phoebe flashes and Joey has to close.
That didn't move me at all.
What do you mean? Chandler, when she gets flashed by Phoebe?
Didn't move me at all.
Well, that's crazy.
It was all about Ross. The funniest moments are Ross.
What, when Ross and Monica are fighting over the little gnome trophy on the ground and everyone's inside eating?
Yes, and when they wrestle. When they dance on New Year's Eve.
That's a good one.
Oh, now you're seeing. Now, fine, I'm going to make Ross's moment beyond pivot that. And you guys, some point this show, have to give Chandler or Joey moment funnier than New Year's Rocket Eve.
Could I be wearing any more clothes?
No.
What do you mean? Listen,
you guys can fight over the guys. I'm going to check and see if Rachel's still on a break. We're going to see.
It's fine. 610-632-0975. Word of the Day is thankful. We'll get to the question of the day. More of your phone calls on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll with Connor Thomas in for Jen Scordo. What's up, Connor?
Thanks, Ty. Again, our Twitter poll. Last night, the national broadcast was upset that the Sixers crowd didn't boo Ben Simmons as much as they were expecting. If you indeed think that was the case, why? And with 430 votes here, leading the way, he's not worth the boos with 50% of the vote already. 27% are saying the game wasn't important, 12% saying enough time has passed, and 11% saying the Sixers were winning. So half of the responders saying what we all felt when the poll came out.
Yeah, he's not boo worthy anymore. It's like he's just a mediocre.
He can't hurt us anymore.
Yeah,
that's the thing. He's not here. He only hurt us here because he couldn't put together a long enough season or a good enough playoff performance.
Right,
and now that he's not here. He does the same stuff, so he can't hurt you. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, and his dominant performance of 11 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists by being -9 in a loss. However, will Philadelphia get over that?
How many athletes at his age in the young 20s end up going from, whatever, 21 through 25, 26?
26 now, yeah.
And doesn't improve at all? Like, how rare is that? I'm not saying to a superstar level, but you could go from role player to a starter that plays a small starter role. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying a huge jump to the point where you become a superstar, but I'd imagine that 99% of athletes in the NBA who are 20 that get to 25, 26, their leap is way more than what you get from him.
In his next contract, he should get the mid-level exception. That's all he is.
Well, his next contract would be at what age? He'd be 30. Yeah, 30.
I think he's a mid-level exception type player. Like kind of like what you give Niang. That's Ben Simmons at this point.
I would rather have Niang come off my bench than Ben Simmons any day.
Yeah, because Niang will shoot a three. I'm telling you, Ben Simmons, if you take away his name and just look at those little piddly stats, that's mid-level.
Well, he's averaging 8 points per game this year. Yeah, like 8 points per game.
Yeah, that's being generous. I'm putting in the fact that he's a great defender. Like, shut up. I can't believe Stanley. Real fast, our question of the day. To answer that, it's 610-771-9705. 610-771-9705. The question of the day today is, what are you most thankful for in sports and or in life this Thanksgiving season? You can take it wherever you'd like to go. You go to sports world, you go to life world. Where would you like to go, Hunter?
I'll go in the sports world.
All right.
I'm thankful for this show that we're doing. You know, I'm having a blast. We kind of kicked things off in August, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity. And as well as, I did a lot of traveling throughout my time playing hockey, whether it was in Boston, some time in New England, and up in Vermont, and When I come back here after those seasons, mm-hmm. there's just something to be said about the passion that we have for the sports in this town. And I spent time in Maryland and I spent time in Wisconsin. I'm just going around. And when you come home and you kind of just see the difference in how we feel about sports and what it's like in Maryland, what it's like in Wisconsin, what it's like in all these other spots, it brings you back to home. So it's just appreciating what we have here in the sports fandom with the entire community. And until you leave and see what it's like in other areas, it just, you lose the, you don't know the perspective until you kind of go elsewhere and come back and return. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm taking it.
Connor?
Yeah, I'm thankful for a lot of things this year, man. Sports-wise, well, softball championship is near the top of the list. It's up there.
That's a violation.
And they're drawing walks.
Listen, man, championships are important. I'm thankful for, really, the stretch we've had in Philadelphia sports is the best since I've come into this industry. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible to be able to talk about these teams, especially with this great fan base. Thankful for everyone here at the Fanatic and, of course, family and friends and everything like that. There's just so much this year that's been so fun to be a part of.
Absolutely. Yeah, for my health, obviously, you know, health is important. Family, friends, this job. I know a lot of people would like to sit here, and I get to sit here, and I recognize that some people are acting stupid about it, but that's a conversation for after the holiday. You know what I'm talking about, Hunter. And then also, in the sports world, the Eagles right now. The Eagles right now. The Phillies were a run. We'll find out about Bryce Harper with that elbow. The Phillies were a run. The Union were a run. But I think the Eagles, I think they were the appetizer. I think the Eagles are about to make the big run, and we're going to have another parade coming up. So, thankful for a lot of things. And to talk about what you're thankful for in life or in sports, 610-771-9705. That is our question of the day today. Yeah. And for the regular phone number, 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. And I know that this guy's always just pleasant and thankful for everything he has going on in his life. Mitch in Arizona. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mitch.
Now you know you're being sarcastic.
Yes. I was hoping that would be obvious.
Well, you made it obvious.
Right. I was hoping that it would be.
Yeah, well, that's good for you. But anyway, getting
back. See how pleasant he is? I told you.
Getting back to sports, mm-hmm. 76ers, Eagles. You mean to tell me that if you play 37 minutes of basketball, you couldn't get 2 points? I know I could.
You couldn't. I could.
Oh, yes. Yes, I could.
No, you absolutely couldn't.
Incorrect.
On. Yeah, come on. Cut it out, Mitch. Who are you talking about, P.J. Tucker?
Yeah, what a useless acquisition that guy is.
Offensively. Defensively, he did a nice job on KD.
He's played 182 minutes.
But Mitch, don't you realize how much of an outlier that is to reality, to the point where you're like, yes, it's a bad funk right now, but that's not who PJ Tucker has been for a long, long, long NBA career to this point. So eventually it'll be the norm.
Well, he did used to make a corner three, especially with Miami.
Yeah, that was last year. I believe he's going to make corner threes again. He hasn't scored. The Sixers did win last night, and he did contribute in other ways. He has to score points at some point. Yes, that's true.
I would rather have a dude like Bruce Brown that was available than this
How
guy
much did he in. Sign for?
I don't know how much Bruce signed for. Do you know?
Well, see, that's the thing. And also, he's a younger player. And the Harden factor. Harden's not out there, and that's another reason all those games he hasn't scored has been with him not playing with Harden.
Now, I don't know if you picked up on it because I watched it on TV on TNT, but they interviewed Tobias at the end of the game, and one of the things that stood out, he said, "I got more touches tonight than I've had in a long time."
Well, yeah, because three starters aren't
right,
there.
As he should, and he should go back to getting less touches when those guys aren't there because he's the fourth option.
Tobias Harris,
have a good holiday, bitch.
Took 21 shots yesterday. I'm a Tobias fan compared to the norm, I'd say.
Yeah.
But I don't want Tobias to be taking 21 shots a night when people are healthy.
He should get more shots than he gets.
Yes.
But he's not going to be the number one option when everybody else is back. And if you want Embiid or Maxey to take less shots, I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, because how, like, who do they go? Tobias was nice last night. We know what he is over a long stretch of time, which is not a bad player, but not a guy who's going to lead your team in shots if you're going to go somewhere.
Right.
I'm looking at some of his game logs. 7 of 13, 7 of 18, 9 of 15. If he's taking 15 shots
that's
in a
great.
Game.
Yeah, like 9 of 15 is a great stat line for Tobias Harris. Yes. If he can do that, we're happy.
That's super. Yeah.
Very happy.
Yes. I told Mitch we'll find a way to be unhappy today. It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't understand the PJ. There's going to be a week where PJ Tucker's awesome, and he's a big part of why they win a couple games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the flow of this. I mean, it's ridiculous to think he hasn't scored. That's not going to keep up forever. And he's still holding
not.
His other. It's not going to last forever.
I hope not.
I know that 1-3 was ugly.
Yeah, but he did play good defense on Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
but I do feel guilty bringing that up sometimes because with Thibel, I always scream that you can't be good enough to just play on one side. So when P.J. Tucker's doing it, and I like Tucker more than Matisse Thibel, I feel guilty.
Yeah, well, I said my boy Thibel always gets ripped. Now P.J. doesn't score for a...
Cause, what? No, Thibel stinks.
Yeah, right, you're, Thibel, I know. I know. I'm willing to admit that.
I mean, he's your guy, though.
He is my guy.
From way back.
I got to back him up, but
how
he does
think. How many jerseys do you have of him?
We're moving on.
They're hanging. He's at Club Connor.
We're moving on.
More than one?
Oh, he has more than one.
We're moving on.
Yeah, he has more than one.
More than two?
No.
Okay, so two.
And they're both gifts.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You asked for those gifts.
No, I didn't. I didn't purchase them. But I made it well known that I enjoyed Matisse Thibault's
right,
game.
Right, to people
and that's
who would
why
buy gifts.
If I'm getting a Sixers jersey... I'm getting Joel Embiid.
Come on.
I'm getting Joel Embiid.
I have a Joel Embiid jersey, too. I got a Harden jersey,
imagine,
too.
Imagine having a Thibel jersey.
Listen, I got a Thibel jersey like 2 years ago when we thought he was the guy.
When did we ever think
no.
he was?
No. He had the dimples and he smiled and he played great defense. And we're like, if he can just shoot, we're going to be all right.
I mean, I normally judge my basketball players on everything other than dimples and smiles.
Yeah. Hey,
this is why I said we're moving on.
Would you like a Thibel jersey?
I would say no.
Let's go back to the foes.
Piling them on Thanksgiving Eve.
Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Warren.
Hello.
How you doing, Warren?
What's up?
I'm doing well. I hope you guys are doing well. I called to make a comment about the trade that was made for Harden. I believe I heard you say earlier today that Daryl Morey made a great trade.
Yes, phenomenal trade.
I'm not of that mind for the simple reason that they gave up too much for Harden.
Okay, what did they give up that was so much? And remember, Ben Simmons was never going to play here again. So you have to put that, make sure you mention that when you're during your layout. You have the floor, but remember, Ben Simmons was never going to play for the Sixers ever again. Proceed, sir.
Okay. Two number ones, Curry, the center, and Simmons.
Hold on, the center. Did you see the Nets game last night?
I'm just saying.
Did you see the Nets game? Warren, did you see the Nets game last night?
Yes.
Did the center play for them last night?
No, he moved on to another team.
So, you mean to tell me they traded a player who was going to be a free agent anyway?
Okay, now you're going to pick at the center. And Simmons. They sent it. They moved
and Simmons off. Wasn't going to play here anymore. And you.
Yes, we got that. And Harden wasn't going to play any longer for the Nets after the season ended either.
What? After the season ended, right. He would have played the rest of that season. Ben Simmons wasn't going to play at all.
And what did Harden do for us last season?
Wait a minute.
Where did I get it?
What did Simmons do for you last season?
Nothing.
And what did Curry and the center do for the Nets last year? Did they win the title last year with Kevin Durant?
No, and neither did the Sixers. So what?
Worst, Warren, it was a wash, and no, it wasn't a wash.
We still don't have the number one picks, do we?
The number one picks. So
in
wait
the
minute.
NBA, you want late 20 draft picks where we're getting Matisse Thibault of the world, and Tyrese Maxey is a huge outlier because they didn't.
I'm not discussing 20 picks.
But no. Yes, you are, though, Warren. Yes, you are. You're the one, Warren. You're the one bringing up first round picks. So when I now counter with what those selections are going to be, that's a huge part of what you are bringing up.
Okay, fine, and I'll give you that. But understand this. Those are also tradable commodities.
What about Jayden? So Jayden Springer is a tradable commodity? Jayden Springer.
No one wants Thibel. No one wants Springer. No one wants these
Jayden
pieces.
Jayden Springer was the 28th pick in the draft, the kind of pick that the Sixers gave up. Do you think that getting James Harden and giving up two Jaden Springers is too much in your world?
I'm saying that they were tradable commodities.
Right, so it's right. But unfortunately, Warwick, I've given you way over the time.
They're not, by the way.
And you have not explained your point very well, sir. I want you to have a great holiday. But to see Ben Simmons doing nothing and to say the Sixers gave up too much in a trade last season after they beat Ben Simmons, who's playing without even any of those assets playing. Springer didn't even play. Curry played. The center's not even on that team anymore. And Warren, I have a great holiday. It's just, what are we doing here?
He keeps saying that they're assets that you can trade. The only way those level of pieces are assets is if you have them in a package with someone like Ben Simmons with value at that time. He's acting as if all these first-round picks that you can go pick up in the draft are just hot items just from the rip. You right. add those to the Ben Simmons of the world to acquire one of the best 75 players to ever play the sport of basketball. The fact that we got two calls today after that win saying James Harden for Ben Simmons was a joke of a trade, I do not know how to comprehend that. The Maxi pick was an outlier because it was a COVID year where the kid didn't play a March Madness, so he slipped. That's not really something that you can hold your hat on as if these late draft picks all become Tyrese Maxey. They're Jaden Springer more than they are Maxey, and I'll take my odds on that. That's crazy. It's crazy to me that we got two of those.
Booty just also brought this up. Let's say the Nets go to trade Ben Simmons right now. Could they get back James Harden?
Absolutely not.
No.
James Harden, could they get back?
That was the last time you could have maximized Ben Simmons.
Right.
And look what you got.
Right. Like, was it the most perfect trade ever? No. Could they have used Curry? Well, we don't. He was on one leg. Like, I don't know. Like,
and
last
still
year.
Is.
You know what I mean? Like, Curry, in theory, would have helped you beat Miami. But could you have had Maxey, Curry, and Harden together and that Curry against Miami? Jimmy Butler would have been killing them because he can't move. So we got to put everything into the equation. It's so weird
I don't get that.
We're doing that today.
And if you think Ben Simmons stinks, which I feel Warren did, and you get back James Harden, if Ben Simmons stinks, I don't get it. I don't get it.
The Sixers last year, regardless of what you thought, you got back a 20-10 guy. Not a 10-10 guy like Ben is, 10-10-5. You got last year, the gimpy version, the one with the one leg, he was a 20-10 player for the Sixers last year. That's the downside of Harden. Like, when he comes back, if he plays bad, he's a 20-10 player. Still, he's a 20-10 player when he's on one leg. And that's what you got in return, regardless of what you think in the whole macro sense. 20 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, 10 assists. That's what you get. And eight rebounds. That's what you get from James Harden night to night. That's what you got last year. Even with the, oh, he can't move, blah, blah, blah. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists every night. That's what you got. John in Center City, as we go back to the phones, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, John.
What's going on, Tyrone? Happy holidays to you guys.
Happy holidays.
Now, I just want to find out. This is going to literally tell me if you're actually just insanely biased or if you actually care about the sports you talk about. I'm just curious.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Hold on, everybody. We're about to get the test from John. I have been waiting my whole life to be judged by John in Center City to see if I'm a real fan.
Come on, let's go. I'm ready.
Nobody cares.
So we spoke a little bit earlier in the year. You decided to say the Dallas Cowboys are not a good team.
Yeah, they're not that good.
Oh, no. Now it's gone from they're not a good team to they're not that good. Okay. But last Sunday's 40-3.
What about the week before that? What about the week before that? How'd
Packers,
that go?
How'd the Packers game go?
The defense screwed up a little.
No. How'd the quarterback play 2 weeks ago?
He played fine. He put up 28 points.
He threw two interceptions, John. John, he threw two interceptions 2 weeks ago. No.
If Hurts did that, what would you say, John?
Right. He threw two interceptions, John. You didn't think I knew that. No, John, you didn't think I knew what happened.
Hold on. Who's the one
who picked that Dallas win, but not because Dallas is good, but because the Vikings had treated the previous week like their Super Bowl? As a matter of fact, I had picked that.
And the Dallas Cowboys were a favorite on the road. Like, it's not as if they went in and did something insane. Vegas was telling you.
What's going to happen tomorrow, John? What's going to happen tomorrow?
Might as well
What's going to happen tomorrow?
they're going to win. But that's regardless of the point. Listen, you do realize the Cowboys in the four games that Dak Prescott's been back are the number one scoring team in the NFL with 35.5 points per week, right?
Okay.
The number one. Their defense is now significantly better than the Eagles' defense.
What's their record the last four games?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, you don't even know. John, you watch the Cowboys have a good season in the previous little stretch, and they just fail in the postseason. No, so I don't care about four games of what Dak Prescott does or what the Cowboys do when you've seen them have good regular seasons and then have a horrendous postseason.
You see why I don't talk to my Cowboys fan cousin?
Yeah. Well, is he like that?
That's how they all are. That's how they all are.
I don't really associate myself with too many.
There's not a local person that's a Dallas fan that's anything more than that guy, John. Like, John is the smartest of them all. He's their leader. He's the best one. You're either getting that level or worse. And you just heard the display he put on. He doesn't even know his own team's record the last four games.
He said, you tell me, after a five-second wait.
What are we doing here?
And he brought up one game when the week before they sucked. They absolutely sucked.
610-632-0975. Well, that was lively. On the other side, we'll have your phone calls. We'll also talk to Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, with the midweek report. Yes, as we're thankful today. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975, 4 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. We're about to talk to Tim McManus with the Midweek Report. Then we'll have your calls and such. But Washington Post just drops in a little story the day before about Jerry Jones was one of the bullies that tried to stop the desegregation of schools. My goodness.
Come on, Jerry.
What is this? Like, what? Why are you dropping that all of a sudden today?
Well, Dan Snyder probably did.
Yeah, that's what I think. But on the line right now, giving the Midweek Report is Tim McManus, brought to you by Stretch Zone. Book your free 30-minute stretch session today at stretchzone.com. How are you today, Tim?
I'm doing great, Ty. How about yourself? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Man, Tim, I need your help. We've been looking at this Eagles game last weekend. It wasn't perfect, but we're giving some credit to the Colts defense because it is a good defense after all, and also recognizing that the offense is playing their first week without Goddard. We're just pleased that they got the win and Hurts finished strong. There's others that have almost treated this like a loss. How do you look at it?
Well, I mean, certainly don't look at it like a loss because, you know, that's kind of what matters. You look up and it's 9-1, and it's a good place to be critiquing from. Playing on the road minus Dallas Goedert, getting the job done, your quarterback stepping up in a big spot. You know, those are positives. But it's right not to, I think, from a fan's perspective, be feeling like super good coming off of that week, mainly because of the way that the offense looks, you know, minus their standout tight end. Like, life got tougher when Dallas Goedert got hurt. I mean, there's just no way around that. It got harder for Jalen Hurts, and it got harder for the offensive play callers. Like, it's just not going to look the same. And I think that, you know, the first half of that game, they're really tinkering, trying to figure out ways in which to compensate for Goddard's loss. We saw all sorts of different packages, and in real time, you know, it was kind of easy to criticize them and be like, what, you know, why do they have three tight end sets coming out here when your weakest spot right now, you know, your guy just went down. You know, why are you kind of maximizing that position on the field right now? And it just seemed like they got a little too cute. And then you saw in the second half, they really limited that and they started going, with their three wide receiver sets almost exclusively. And things started kind of smoothing out. So it's a feeling out process without Dallas Goedert. I think that's a lot of what you saw against a pretty good Colts defense. And, the test over the next handful of weeks is going to be tough for them as they sort of navigate that main injury.
Tim, tell us a little bit about what you're reporting on ESPN.com about the Eagles hiring a new offensive coordinator, the former Colts offensive coordinator, Marcus Brady.
Yep, so that just came down on ESPN.com. I was reporting along with my colleague, Stephen Holder, who's the Colts reporter for ESPN. And yeah, the Eagles early this week officially hired Brady to be a consultant for the Eagles. He's the former Colts OC who got fired right before Frank Reich did on November the 1st. And basically what he's coming in for is to help out Jonathan Gannon in his game planning. So it's an offensive coach working with the defensive coaches, kind of giving his perspective as an offensive coach on how he would attack the Eagles defense so they can have those kind of conversations to figure things out during the course of the week. So Brady was in Philadelphia last week. Of course, the Eagles and the Colts played each other at the end of that week, but he was not officially hired until this week over the sensitivity of those two teams playing one another. So yeah, one of Sirianni's guys from back in Indy, he was the quarterback's coach when Sirianni was the OC, comes aboard, and it's, you know, just another mind to mix in to what is already a pretty good coaching staff from where I sit.
Just a quick follow-up. Is that something that's normal around the league to pick up or just to have an offensive guy working with the defensive coordinator to kind of have those conversations?
You know, I don't know how normal it is, but I know that it's something that Sirianni emphasizes and talks about a lot. You know, when he's game planning, certainly he's looking to Gannon and his defensive coaches to have exactly those types of conversations. It's like, well, this is how I would attack you. What do you have to say? And you know, even when Sirianni first got hired, you know, that anecdote was out there between he and Gannon when they, back in their Indy days, where they would have these kind of long arguments over offense versus defense. And so it's something that, you know, that he certainly emphasizes. And this is just another example of that.
Talking to Tim McManus, covers the Eagles for ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic. Speaking of Gannon, it seemed like he bounced back pretty well with the help of some new reinforcements last week. Joseph and Sue both played more and better than I expected last week. Do you agree with that assessment that they played both more and better than maybe people thought or you thought going into the game?
Yeah, I was totally skeptical. I mean, Joseph came in and had his first practice on Wednesday. Sue didn't get here and start practicing until Thursday, and you were asking those guys to go in and fill a pretty significant role. So, yes, I wondered, you know, at 34 and 35 years old, not having played at all this season, you know, would they be effective? You know, was this the safest thing for them from a health perspective to not be doing anything? Yeah, I mean, you know, they're working out on their own, but it's not football. And then getting into that kind of circumstance, like, are they going to get injured coming off of it? And so I was definitely like, it felt like make-believe almost that they would be able to come in and do what they did. They had a significant impact in that game. I would say particularly Joseph. I mean, you know, after that first drive where, you know, they allowed – a bunch of, you know, 49 rushing yards by Jonathan Taylor, that touchdown, where it looked like it was the same old for this rush defense over the last few weeks. You know, Joseph had a big part in stopping that. And so, yeah, they had significant contributions in that game. If it continues, that bodes well, really well for an Eagles defensive front that, as Nick Sirianni said, a lot of teams would be salivating over. And so, you know, especially once Jordan Davis gets back, you know, there's just a lot of options to choose from with those two additions.
You touched on the personnel and the 12 personnel, a lot of the tight ends. Did you find it odd when Boston Scott was getting those runs late? And I just thought more than just the tight end stuff. It was just bizarre all around with what they were doing with the running back. And I don't know. I didn't see the logic behind what they were trying to show us in their game plan.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think it was Nick Sirianni's best day or the coach's best day on offense overall. If they would have lost that game, and man, it looked like they were going to lose that game for a while there, you know, they'd be getting crushed as much as you can crush what would have been an 8-2 team, because there were a lot of questionable decisions. You know, the usage of Boston Scott, you can look at the way that they were deploying their personnel, particularly in the first half. You could definitely look at the decision to let the third quarter run out without taking a timeout when you were down.
The fourth and 10?
You could look at, the fourth and 10 decision to go for it when you could have kicked a 50-plus field goal. There was a lot of them. And so it wasn't their best day. This could have been a much different tone this week. You know, winning alleviates a lot of the stress and criticism that you get publicly. But there's no doubt about it that wasn't the coach's finest performance on Sunday.
Speaking of that, Tim, I remember in the preseason, it almost felt like Kelce was trying to, like, calm everybody down instead of the head coach. And he was extremely emotional after that Colts game. And I know that Frank Reich is his guy, and he just hired somebody, as you reported, from that old Colts staff. But it seemed like he was definitely more emotional than I've seen for a regular season non-conference game in this city, and maybe in my entire life of watching sports. Was it at all peculiar to you just how emotional he was at the end of that game, jumping on the bench, all the profanity and stuff? It just seemed a bit overboard to me, given the circumstances that they didn't win the Super Bowl last Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. It's not a huge surprise, given that some of the evidence that we've seen out of Sirianni on game day, you know, the pregame or the preseason game where Jalen Hurts got hit out of bounds. You know, he freaked out and threw his headset down. We saw him walking off after the win against Dallas and screaming, "How about them Eagles?" You know, so he gets emotional. He gets carried away. And it's kind of funny, like when you watch, especially you juxtapose him and Jalen Hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Jalen Hurts is a guy where his temperature doesn't change.
Right.
Whereas Sirianni runs like super hot and every once in a while. But it hasn't been a detriment to them to this point, Ty. You know, I think that really the main thing is authenticity. And I think we're learning that Sirianni certainly is that. He is himself, and sometimes that's, you know, him kind of going crazy on the sidelines. What I can tell you is that, you know, I think he's, you know, as far as the way that the players are receiving him, it's really well. Like, after the game, Miles Sanders went out of his way to tell me, like, how much he respects Sirianni. He said, I don't know if Coach knows that, but I hope he hears it. And you could see the way that they reacted to him returning to Indy, supporting him through that, that they certainly have his back. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a little, you know, little out of the box, I guess, the way he acts sometimes. But all in all, I don't think it's a detriment to them.
I'm aware that this might be me being a little bit nervous, but against Washington, A.J. Brown only had one catch, and then he had the fumble in this most recent game. Does he seem right to you, or am I just maybe reaching at something that's not there?
I think he's okay. You know, he rolled his ankle the previous week and was limited to one catch for 7 yards. That was something that I was looking at closely during the course of the week, and in pregame, certainly before that Colts game, is like, how does he look? But he was moving well, and I thought that he looked mostly like himself in that Colts game. I think it's fine to be worried about that to a certain extent with Brown when it comes to his injuries, just because of his history. And there's always that question, it's like, why did the Titans give up this guy again? Given how young he is and how awesome he is as a football player. And so, yeah, I think it's okay to, you know, have a little bit of concern there. But as far as like that rolled ankle and those kind of deals, I don't sense that it's anything that's too concerning to them right now.
All right, Tim. Well, thanks for the time, as usual. Have a good Thanksgiving, and let's see if Sunday night is a little bit easier. The team starts to look like itself again.
Sounds good, guys. Always appreciate coming on with you, and happy Thanksgiving to you guys, your family, and everybody out there.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you soon, Tim. That was Tim McManus, brought to us by Stretch Zone. Book your free 30-minute stretch session today at stretchzone.com. 610-632-0975. Laura will lead it off, so you know she's going to be yelling at Hunter on the other side, who will be re-racking some things as well here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. We're today thankful. So we were wondering, we were getting news right during Connor's last update. We find out that Bryce Harper had Tommy John surgery. Jim Salisbury reporting this. And it went, quote, very well, and he could be hitting back competitively by mid-May.
Now, what does competitively mean?
It means he probably could swing before that, but, like, actually playing a game in mid-May. He probably will be able to swing some, maybe even at spring training, but not with the violent Bryce Harper-type swing. But he might be able to do some things off a tee in March.
Yeah, I mean, I think he only knows how to swing one way.
Well, but, you know, yeah, right know. Now, first things first, he's got to be able to straighten the arm out and all the stuff that he has to do. But it's about December, January, February. By sometime in March, most likely he'll be able to take some swings and then play in a game. And then usually if it goes how most non-pitchers go, he will be able to play the outfield sometime in likely August or so.
Yeah, end of the season is probably what's realistic to target for that.
For the field.
Yes, for the field.
The DH in May.
The mid-May. Right. See, all I'm thinking of is it could have been early, or sorry, mid-May could have been late April.
Yeah, no, this is really good news, though.
Well, I mean,
because mid-May could have also been August or September.
Not really.
I know, but like
not
something, really. A serious, serious elbow injury could have been more.
But we knew it was going to be Tommy John. We knew it was.
But so, the difference in like how much the tear is and how much you're repairing and everything could change the length of recovery.
Okay, so
but he's not a pitcher.
Hold on.
I know.
His point, you're saying it could have been really serious, right?
Yes.
Why wait 18 days?
It's a fair question.
Right, because what if it was 18 days worse of an injury?
Yeah. Yeah, and here's my response would be I trust Bryce Harper. I guess he's such a competitor.
Nah.
I know we don't see behind the scenes. He is, though. He wants to be out there.
Yeah.
Like, he does. I've never once doubted that Bryce Harper wants to be out there playing for this team, so I don't know the behind the scenes stuff of it. I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt on that front.
Nobody does. There's no such thing. If you have an injury, you get it worked on as quickly as possible.
The only reason why I'm going to side on Tyrone here is I saw Shohei Ohtani, who's a competitor, and he loves to play the game. He got it the day after the season ended because, well, he knew that this timeline is very, you know, you got to attack. You got to get there, get it as soon as possible because you don't know.
18 days is a long time.
I got you. I just don't see Bryce Harper as a guy who just takes 18 days to just not do it for no reason. I imagine
what
at some point we're going to hear.
What if the reason was a family vacation?
Well, that may be it. And I imagine we're going to hear it the next time he talks to the media.
I don't believe we'll
You don't think so?
No, he would hide that.
Absolutely not.
I imagine he'll be asked. Why'd you wait so long?
I don't think he'll be asked.
I hope so. I mean, I would hope someone asked why it took 18 days to get it. I don't know if it would happen.
He's not been the type of guy to brush anything off. He's the guy to say who should be called up, who should be signed. So I don't think he'll duck the question either.
He doesn't say it out front.
Yeah,
he doesn't say sign Trey Turner to me.
But if he's straight up asked, he's not the type of guy that's ducked questions.
You know, just consulting things with my family and the doctors. He's not going to give a real answer.
You guys may be right. I'm leaning to the side of trusting him.
I get what you're saying. Look, Bryce Harper loves the game. Like, we all understand how much of a competitor he is. But 18 days is a weird time. And I think, and this is the point that Ricky Bo brought up, and I'll steal it since he's not here. You're going to do it the day before Thanksgiving? That's an odd time. You're supposed to be with your family right now.
Maybe he's not a turkey guy. I don't know.
Maybe because Tyrone.
I'm not a big turkey guy.
Right.
It's too dry.
Normal people are.
It's too dry.
I'm telling you, turkey's overrated.
It's a weird timeline. That's all.
I don't disagree with you guys at all. I'm just saying when I look at the makeup of Bryce Harper and what he's been in this city and what he's given to this team, I want to hear an explanation before I say that he just randomly took 18 days because it doesn't make sense to me as well. And to me, that leans towards there's got to be something else going on.
Okay.
And I could very well be wrong when it comes out and he could just be like, nah, I was just tired from the season. And that would be a dumb answer.
So you would feel upset if that was his answer?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. But I trust that there's something else. They didn't just sit there for 18 days for no reason.
Now, what do you think that is? What would an example be maybe that you would go, you know what? Okay, I get it.
Yeah, he talked to doctors and they said, we need to let the swelling go down because you've been hitting and stuff. You've been using it to make sure you need this surgery because there's a 5% chance that you actually don't need full Tommy John.
Didn't get it looked at till last Monday.
That's the problem.
I know. That's also
so. I don't know about the whole swelling.
Trainers
thing.
And everything. I'm not a doctor.
He waited over a week and changed. I think he waited 9 days to have it looked at, and then 9 days after that to have the surgery.
I'm just saying I want to hear the guy's explanation.
But I don't believe you wait 9 days for some swelling. You know what you do with that? Ice. Put your elbow in his bag of ice. And then, all right, look, there's no swelling. Let's look at it. Like, 9 days. It may not make a difference. And maybe Ed May is earlier than I thought they were going to say.
I agree with that.
So
I was probably thinking more June.
Yeah, I was thinking June. So the fact that it could be May tells me that maybe the wait was, they were like, listen, it just maybe there was a medical reason to do it. But at least we know Tommy John, and that'll be that. And also, let's talk to Laura, because later on we got to talk about maybe they don't like Gannon that much. Just maybe. That while he could be all the bravado, I hope he's the defensive coordinator for the rest of my life. Huh? You got extra consultants just for you? Why you need all that consultation there, Jonathan? I thought you were the brightest football mind in all of the world. Huh, Jonathan? Laura in Rockledge, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, Ty, Hunter, Connor. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hunter, especially to your mom, please pass that along.
I will. Best friends now. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Ty, you make me laugh. Hunter, please don't make me yell at you. I have no reason to yell at you. So
everybody's all love today.
Yeah, right. Okay. And I mean, I feel like a lot of people are calling in with, like, attacking you guys and stuff. I don't know what that's all about. I feel like, are there a lot of angry people out there that are not looking forward to Thanksgiving tomorrow because they got to see relatives they're really not trying to see?
Look, I guess we can't rule that out because I'm sure that happens.
Holidays are a stressful time for many that's people.
True. And speaking of which, I think that's the answer to why Bryce Harper waited so long. In my mind, I have the answer. And it's because, well, we got to get all the Halloween decorations down. We got to get all the Christmas presents and everything decorated and ready to go. And, of course, the day before Thanksgiving, because now he can just come home from surgery and everything's always already done. And, you know.
So his wife, with the UCL tear, goes, get up in that attic, Bryce. I need the bins.
For the Christmas lights?
For the Christmas. And you better hang them up yourself.
Oh, no, he's up on a ladder with the sling in there trying to staple.
It's already done. Because he couldn't have done that 2 weeks ago because that's ridiculous. You don't put the Christmas lights up, you know, the day after Halloween. I mean, people do, but that's ridiculous. Anyway, and also, the Sixers game last night, that was, Tyrone, honestly, I was either saying two things out of my mouth watching that game. Either, B-ball Paul, yeah! Or, oh my God, would you people shut the hell up about Ben Simmons being... It was nauseating. It was like, is that dingus manager of his, like, paying people to, like, try to promote his career? And on another note, let's hypothetically disregard everything about, like, his past in Philadelphia and that whole debacle. Just based on last night's game, who is really going to be jumping at the bit to want him on their team? Strictly based on his performance last night.
Taking
away from everything else.
Well, nobody. But here is your song for a chance to win Sixers tickets there, Laura.
Oh, should we do the impossible?
Oh, you want the impossible?
I mean, it's, you know.
Like, all right, go to the bottom of the list and go to the impossible question. Here we go.
Sure, let's go. Oh, for the love of the Jesus.
You did this because I don't know,
I know.
Either.
I know. It sounds like something from the 80s. Like,
it is.
Like Paula Abdul or like New.
It's in that vein.
I know.
You
right?
have 10 seconds.
Booney
does not know it. You have 5 seconds. You have to make a guess.
Let me just, I don't know. Crap on a cracker.
Sorry.
But you got revenge because the last couple of weeks, people were getting these hard ones pretty damn easily.
That was, now Booty said Rocksteady, which has a similar open, but it's Jody Watley, Real Love.
Of it course. You didn't know
one,
that one, Hunter?
It was a number one hit in the 80s.
Now, Dylan seemed to get it.
The start of the song.
Dylan said difficult. He got it?
Dylan, he just typed it in there.
Dylan got it?
No
it
way.
He just erased it.
Well, put it, I don't know.
I don't know if I buy that.
I don't know if I buy it. 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever.
Head back.
On 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
If you're looking to place a bet this weekend, follow the lead from the experts at Free winners. Paul Nola from Free Winners is an NFL expert handicapper. They've had a show on the Fanatic every Saturday and Sunday morning for years. These guys, they work around the clock to uncover the best on-field matchups. And before you place your bets on this weekend's games, you should call Free Winners for your free picks. Yes, free picks. Their number, 888-366-3733. That's 888-366-FREE. You'll get games for the Thanksgiving games. You'll get the Friday, Saturday. You get the whole weekend all the way through from Paul Nolan and his fantastic team. And the system they use at freewinners.net is awesome, and they treat every client as an individual with a different set of needs. So, again, before you place your bets on this weekend's games, give Free Winners a call for your free picks at 888-366-3733. That's 888-366-FREE.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll with Connor Thomas in for Jen Scorta.
Thanks, Ty. 500-plus votes on this one already. Last night, the national broadcast was upset that the Sixers crowd didn't boo Ben Simmons as much as they were expecting. If you think that was the case, why? He's not worth the boos is now up to 52%. 25% are saying game wasn't that important. 12% still saying enough time has passed. And 11% saying the Sixers were winning. So the lead of he's not worth the boos is growing.
Interesting. Interesting situation there. Then, of course, a lot of things going on. Bryce Harper gets the Tommy John surgery. They hire an offensive consultant to help Jonathan Gannon. And it turns out, according to a Washington Post story, and Jerry Jones has acknowledged that it's him, he tried to stop schools from being desegregated in Arkansas.
So Jerry Jones made a statement?
He's in the story.
Oh, okay. I thought he actually said something since the story.
No. They called him about the story, and he answered. And apparently some other players said that because he was on the football team in high school, he was told to not go out to the front of that school no matter what. That's what the football coach said, and he was applying to play football then, and he was supposed to be in the weight room, and apparently Jerry did not listen to his coach, but he's claiming that he was just there watching. He wasn't actually blocking, but apparently the only way he could be in that photo is for he went around the black students trying to get into school and put himself in between the school and the kids. He could have watched from behind the kids. He chose to watch from the other side.
I think we're about to see a lot of owners' stuff start to get public.
The reason that's a thing, people are like, whatever. He was a teenager. He's 80. I don't like Jerry Jones, but whatever. I got a feeling that this, to your point, what you were just saying, this is Snyder, who is going to sell the team, but he's going to make it to where someone else is going to have to sell the team other than just him. And I think this was the warning shot to say, look how Jerry Jones really thinks about the players in his locker room. And he slides stuff out. And I just hope he doesn't have any dirt on Jeff Lurie. Because if Lurie goes, Howie goes. Yeah. There's no way another owner is going to be all in there liking Howie doing that. None of that's happening.
I mean, realistically, we joke around about the Lurie-Howie thing, but that would open up a whole new can of worms. I mean, it would get really crazy. But I think what he's saying, Dan Snyder, is if I'm going down, you're all coming down with.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's
or at least someone is.
Yeah.
Yes. He's grasping. He's flying off the Titanic right now, grabbing at people, trying to pull them off.
Well, here's a question. If this is a correlation, then this would be a dumb question, but is it possible that he's calling bluff? Maybe he doesn't have as much dirt on these people as he thinks. But at the same time, if this is getting released, then he might. He might. But I don't know. Maybe he's trying to bluff to scare all the other owners to keep him in the position that he wants to be in. It's a mess. There's more to the Gannon thing, too, by the way. It's not just the fact that they hired a consultant from the Colts. But I thought it was a little strange that today in a press conference, Nick Sirianni was quoted saying, I believe in Jonathan Gannon. He's a great football coach. Why the hell would you say that? If there was nothing going on behind the scenes, in what world today would you need to make that statement? I thought it was bizarre before I saw Tim McManus's report, and now I'm putting the pieces together.
It is peculiar. Why does Jonathan need so much consultation?
Yeah.
610-632-0975, and we are playing a 10-second song, and you will win a pair of tickets to Monday's Sixers-Hawks game. To purchase tickets for any 76ers game, visit Ticketmaster.com/76ers, the number 76ers. Ticketmaster.com is the official ticketing partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. So it's just a little thing, and Derrick Jones is going to have to sell the team or anything like this. It's just jarring because I know there's a lot of young people who think that that stuff was like a long, 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 long time ago. And then you realize that a current owner in the NFL was part of the protest to not have schools be desegregated. It kind of breaks the reality of it wasn't really that long ago after all.
You're right.
Like, cause
well,
like,
imagine being in that locker room playing for that guy.
He'll say he did it a long time ago. He didn't. He just says he was watching.
Come on.
That was his whole explanation because he's in the story.
Who was there just, I mean, I wasn't around that. I doubt you were there just to watch, though. There's more involved than you just watching.
I tell you.
It doesn't make sense to me.
He didn't take the kids by their hand and walk them into the building. That we know he didn't do.
Right.
So, honestly, that's the only reason why it's honestly a thing is there's some people who think, oh, we're a million years away from that stuff. No, a current owner was blocking students.
And he wasn't 1 year old.
No,
I'm saying he was, what, 15, 16?
Yeah,
I'm saying
he
was one.
Like in high school, Jerry was doing this, and he owns the NFL team right now. This was not 90 generations ago. This was not that long ago. That's really the whole thing. It's in my parents' lifetime, that type of thing. Other than that, with Jerry. Now, but I do wonder, is there anybody out there now, is this a warning shot?
Definitely.
Like, what if he does have dirt, and he's saying, I don't need to release it all. Make sure I get a nice amount of money. Make sure you guys stop slandering me. Like Ursay. Ursay's been in trouble.
Yeah, you don't really need to even drop
anything
on Ursay.
He had the alcohol and the pills and stuff. Does he know some more about Ursay? Is he going to release that? Ursay admitted he did some things when he was intoxicated. Does that leak out like on Thanksgiving morning all of a sudden? Ursay's in a photo with, I don't know. Who knows what?
I'd set the odds at like -350. That stuff's coming soon.
I'm just saying, like, is this a thing where now all the owners got to watch their backs?
It's a heck of an opening shot, though, to go after Jerry Jones. Like,
that's
not just like an opening. Like, you're not going after the Panthers owner. Like, this is Jerry.
Right, because Jerry got rid of himself. Jerry, yeah. The old Panthers owner, he got rid of himself with his stuff. It's just odd that all of a sudden this story just comes out with Jerry all up in the photo at the protest.
This is not a one-off.
Right.
This is interesting.
So, and I just hope that Jeff Lurie, the division rival, I can't imagine he has anything like that. Like, I don't think he has anything like that. I just hope he doesn't have a scandal because that could rock. That's the only thing that could disrupt the Eagles Super Bowl. Would be some foolishness. What the heck did you do, Jeffrey, what is this? Like, I hope.
I know, he doesn't seem to be that
right. Type,
but those are sometimes the situation. It's like, him? Right. That guy?
I just
you never
hope
know.
That Dan Snyder's not calling the Inquirer right now. Hello, Inquirer. Who's this? This is DS. Listen, I got a photo. What's your email? I'll send you a video of Jeffrey. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. And he hangs up the phone and just sends it. Next thing you know, front page news, Jeff Lurie, whatever. And we find out Dan Snyder tried to kill us too. Like, that's the concern. If it just stays down there in Dallas, carry on. But don't bring any of that trouble up to Philadelphia. We got Thanksgiving to worry about. Imagine. Okay, we're about to go to the phones. But would it affect either one of your Thanksgiving if all of a sudden the Eagles were mired in turnover and in turmoil because of Jeff Lurie getting caught with something that Dan Snyder snitched.
It would be the conversation the entire time.
It would shake the whole foundation of the holiday.
Absolutely.
Because that would affect the next 50, 60 years. Julian Lurie is the heir apparent. He's gone now, too. Like, if Jeffrey goes.
I think now you'd have a 20-something-year-old owner. I think he would do a thing.
If they would let him. If it's something they where they'd make him sell it to somebody else. He gone and now what you have set up for the next who knows
maybe
what.
Joshua Harris buys it.
Jules.
Yeah, Jules will be gone.
Jules.
No Jules. Yeah. My guy. I got so much trust in him.
That's the only reason. The Gannon thing is more like real reality. You can touch it.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid because he went after such a big fish that what if he's just waiting to get to Lori because he feels like what if Robert Kraft is next?
Oh, yeah, he's got some.
And then he goes on to like somebody else, like, oh, remember that thing you got off of? I got the video. Yeah. You were getting that massage.
It's less about Lori and more just the nature of the power of these roles, if that makes sense. I don't think we're really questioning Lori. It's just we know that once you reach that level, it's.
And it can get nasty. I don't trust any billionaire. If you have a billion in your money, I always go, I bet you there's something weird in
there. Yeah.
I feel like every billionaire has some weird something.
You're probably right.
Now, it could be secret, but every billionaire, not millionaire, billionaire, you get so much money, you can do whatever you want. What do you do? Yeah. Some people then give to charity. Some people.
Well, that would be their tax write-off.
Right. Other people, I don't know, somebody might want to sleep on a bed of nails to show they can do it. I'll be like, oh, I can live with that. That's no big deal. Like, you know, that's the only small concern. We'll go back to the phones. Amon in Northeast. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? How's everybody doing?
How are you, Amon?
I'm all right. Can't complain.
Good.
I mean, to answer your question about Thanksgiving, if there was a controversy regarding Lori, it would definitely ruin my Thanksgiving. But hopefully it doesn't get to that point. I had a question about the Sixers, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, so based on yesterday's win, which was good, I mean, it was a great win, does that say more about how good the Sixers could potentially be with a healthy Embiid, Maxey, and Harden back? Mm-mm. Or does that say more about how much improvement the Nets need on their part as far as chemistry was?
Unfortunately, probably neither. I think it's just one of those things that happen. Really, the only thing you saw was, that was the most motivated Ben Simmons has likely been in his entire life, not just his career. He was probably more motivated than he ever had ever been in his entire life to prove everybody wrong. He was 11-11-7 and was -9. So, but outside of him, this happens, unfortunately. This unfortunately is going to happen to the Sixers along the way when they get everybody back. There's going to be some game in February, like Hunter said, and they're going to be full strength, and they're going to go play the Pacers or somebody that's missing a bunch of players, and they're going to lose. These things just happen, unfortunately. But I do think it does speak to Simmons. Simmons was more motivated last night than he's ever been, and he still was just Ben Simmons, which is just mediocre, just a guy that's out there who's tall and happens to know how to dribble.
Okay. Hey. I mean, hopefully it's a positive indicator for the Sixers.
Well, Melton can play, though.
Yeah, I think Paul Reed is starting to get a little bit more of some flow, and now it's on Doc Rivers to choose the right one there. But I thought Harrell had important minutes early.
Right, but we know this already. It's just Paul Reed, they didn't need Harrell.
No.
Paul Reed is your backup center. Melton is a good player, and Shake Milton is a useful NBA player, but inconsistent. And Tobias Harris doesn't stick. Like, we know those things already. It's just now a matter of Doc Rivers doing the right thing and melding it all together in a better way. But all those players that performed, it was really Paul Reed's coming out party. Everybody else, you've seen that before. Here is your song for a chance to win Sixers tickets for Monday.
Sounds like something from the 90s.
I gotcha. Is it Californication? Is that what it is?
No.
Oh, man. I'm out.
And now look. Now go ahead, Amai. You still get a guess.
Jumped the gun on my man.
Cody said, I don't know.
Sounds like something from the 90s.
It's from the 2000s.
From the 2000s. Wild guess here. Kid Rock. I know the lyrics.
Am I off? I'm
on the screen. Come on now.
Oh, I thought that's what it was.
Daddy California. It's about to say band.
Okay, so I was close.
The Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I knew it was the Red Hot Chili Peppers. All right. I wasn't far off. All right,
it's not California. Like
Danny California, you shouldn't be any off.
Yeah, that's not the same.
That should be a bullseye.
Gwen Stefani.
You're throwing a dart from an inch away.
Right. They have a lot of California themed songs, but they don't all sound the same. They just have a similar title.
Well, you do know that's not really my genre.
I know.
Yeah, but like,
but that's why you could have just chilled.
Well,
you jumped before he answered.
I thought he said, I don't know.
He said, it's from the 90s. And you went, California Kaiser?
I said, not only that, I said, I got you before that, too.
I got you.
Bad job.
I'm trying to think. You should get the next two.
Like, should I actually, though? Or
you
like,
should really know the next two and three of the next four.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
He won't get the next one. But he'll get the one after the next one.
Yeah, that one is a given.
Yes.
But you should get the next three of the next four you should get.
I'm nervous.
Al in Southwest Philly, yard 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Al.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Okay. Oh, I'm supposed to have a question for you.
Yeah,
whatever you got. Hey,
I'm so fascinated watching your damn TV show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah, the Sixers.
You were talking about the Eagles? They got a wake-up call?
Oh, yeah, Eagles got a wake-up call. They let Washington beat them, which is stupid.
Well, unfortunately, it does happen in the NFL where you lose a game.
And then they won.
Then they follow that up with a win.
Yeah, but who are they playing next? Are they playing Green Bay or something?
Yeah, Green Bay's not that good, and it's at home Sunday night, and they're 7-point. They're a full touchdown favorite. They should take care of business on Sunday.
Why do you say Green Bay's not that good?
They're because, 4-7, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, because their record's bad.
I know it's 4-7.
Yeah, they're not good. No, they beat Dallas, and they followed up. Everybody thought, they saved their season, and they followed up that Dallas win with another loss. And you basically can end their season on Sunday, and the Eagles can kind of basically clinch a playoff spot. There's this convoluted way, I think, where it's official, but they can clinch a playoff spot. Well, at 10, they're going to make the playoffs, but you get to 10-1, you're making the playoffs, and then that'll be the Packers' eighth loss. If you win, so you can kind of eliminate them and you know book your ticket to the playoffs on Sunday night.
What's the Sixers' next loss?
Sixers play tonight.
What's the Sixers' next loss?
They're 9-8 right now on the season.
That's not my question. I said, what is the Sixers' next loss?
Probably tonight.
Ooh. I was afraid you're going to say that.
Well, it's the second of a back-to-back without their three best players. They're not going to win every game without all their guys on this. And they have to travel. It's not far, but they had to travel. They're in Charlotte.
Sixers put all that damn money on that guy who they brought in. What's his name?
Oh, here we go.
I don't know which guy you're talking about.
I think he's talking about Harden.
Harden.
They put all that money on Harden.
He hurt his foot.
Harding.
Slapsy Maxey is a damn starting team.
He's out too, though. So, you know what? Now here's your song for a chance to win tickets for the Sixers.
You go ahead. Background music.
So what's the title of the song, sir?
I don't know. You didn't play enough of it. Damn, sound like background music.
Al.
Well, have a good holiday.
Al.
That was Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle.
That was also an all-time.
I knew that one.
You didn't know it. You didn't know that one.
I told you there's no way.
I tell you what.
But the next one he's got locked.
610-632-0975. If Hunter Brody doesn't get the next one, he has to go home.
Maybe. I might pull a fast one.
No, don't you throw this. I got my house riding on it.
No.
My two Thibault jerseys are in there.
That's right. The whole house
can't
is gone.
Can't lose those. Those are valuable.
610-632-0975. Word of the Day is thankful. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
DC Sports Philadelphia. I was just playing in Danny California and Californication so you can hear that they're not similar songs. 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest-free. Call Guided Door Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit GUIDEA.com. Word of the day is thankful. It is Thanksgiving tomorrow, Thanksgiving Eve. Everybody be safe tonight if you're getting after it out there, your old time watering hole or whatever bar, whatever place you may be going. And everybody enjoy your holiday. We were talking about a lot of Sixers today, and that we all watched that Ben Simmons return game, and we're underwhelmed by both Ben Simmons and Stanley was the worst commentator in the history of the NBA. And at least, listen, if you're going to be bad at something, you shouldn't just be a little bit bad. You want to be really bad. And he was really, 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 really bad last night because you would not have known that the Sixers won that game and led pretty much the whole way if you listened to the commentary. And I think at this point, it might be time to just get past the Ben Simmons thing. He's not good enough to hurt you. And then, I mean, he's just 11-11-7, and there's people writing odes to him like he's a superstar. That was the most motivated, best version of him you could possibly get. 11-11-7?
Yeah, that's an excellent point you bring up. The fact that I don't know another scenario where he's going to try and flip the mental switch that intensely. And he was shrugging his shoulders like he's Michael Jordan and shushing the crowd when he went 3 of 6 from the free throw line. So if this is the best Ben Simmons you're going to get preparation-wise, 11 points? I mean, he just is what he is at this point, which... He's kind of like a role guy to a degree. Yeah. He's a role guy.
Hey, in fairness, 3 of 6 at the line is not bad for him compared to what he did in the playoffs when he was here before. So that's not a...
That's where we're at. 3 of 6 from the line is not that bad.
He literally...
That's what they got to deal with up there.
He did the shush.
He MJ shrugged us.
Meanwhile, there's people all over the city eating chicken nuggets today. And solely because of him.
Well, maybe he's thinking, well, Giannis did worse because Giannis got everyone like 12 nuggets. He only gave us 5, I think. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know the new pecking order.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, 5.
Because he didn't get back to the line after that.
Well, he would have given him more.
Yeah.
But you don't have to foul him because he can't play offense.
Right. And as soon as Kyrie had the ball, dunker spot, and then Claxton's in the game.
I don't miss that.
Getting that dunker spot.
He's positionless. No, but there's so many opportunities.
I was there one time. I believed in him in the early stages that he'd be able to.
Oh, yeah.
I think we all were.
But we all thought he would improve like a normal person. And I'm not saying basketball player. I'm saying that everyone is better at their job 5 years into it than they were when they started, except for him. I mean, he's more like who isn't better at their job 6 years later? Like, he's no better. That's the crazy part. So, what else happened today? We had the Tommy John surgery, so it was Tommy John for Bryce Harper. And then, peculiar, they hire a consultant for Gannon, who's the old Colts offensive coordinator. My guess is the way it's going to work is he's going to set up his game plan, and then this offensive coach is going to say, well, if you do that, you know what I'm going to do, right? What? Oh, I'll just run for three yards, you see this soft coverage? I'm just going to put the ball there, and I'm going to throw the spots. I'm hoping that's what he's there for. But it is interesting that you're doing this 11 weeks into the year with a 9-1 team.
And the head coach weirdly had to speak about the defensive coordinator today, showing his belief publicly on who he is as a DC. I don't know why you would need to do that if it's just obvious, right? Like, if you're a damn good DC, no one needs to stand their ground and just praise you to the nth degree unless something's going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, it's weird.
And we are giving away a pair of Sixers tickets today with 10-second song. And to purchase tickets for any Sixers game, visit Ticketmaster.com/76ERS. And Larry in Lower Marion, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Larry.
How we doing today, guys?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. It was cool to see that win last night, especially with, you know, obviously the big three guys out. But I still can't say that I actually believe this team, right? Like, do you guys think that we're still a move away probably from actually being able to compete with a Milwaukee or a Boston when it comes to postseason?
Well, they beat Milwaukee last week.
Yeah, regular season wins are all well and good, but can we beat Milwaukee in a 7-game series? We can.
I think they can.
Well, they can compete with them. That's what I mean. I think
they can beat them.
Interesting. I tend to agree. I think P.J. Tucker, D'Anthony Melton, I think Montrezl Harrell It's probably going to be one of the bigger ads. I'd like to see Trez on the floor a little bit more.
Why? He's the third best center on this team.
Agreed.
So why do you want to see more of a third stringer?
Paul Reed is going to have to see the floor a ton too, but I think that Montrezl Harrell, just being a veteran and bringing what he can to the team, I think is something that we're going to need down the
road. Is this a situation where you're calling for Paul Reed and Harrell on the floor at the same time?
Not necessarily at the same time, but
Larry, you got to think about the practicality of this. You brought up a playoff series. Now, you could have just talked about the regular season, like when they get the guys back, but let's go to a playoff series. Embiid's going to play 38 minutes a game.
Minimum.
Paul Reed should get the other 10.
I agree with that.
So then there's no Trez.
Right. I mean, you're not wrong. So then where is the hole then? Right? Is it in the backcourt?
I think that the hole would maybe defensively with Maxey.
Yes.
But now there's things like that.
Guards.
Right. The guard defense. But I do think that Embiid got himself going right when the guards were out, when Harden was out. So I think we just have to have a little bit of patience. Okay. And now here's your song with Hunter's employment on the line. Here we go.
Outcast, Nick Jackson.
I got that it. I knew
correct.
That. I promise. That was easy. You're right on the easy one.
All right.
I had that one.
Oh, sure you had that one.
Hey, I swear I had that one. I did have that one.
Booney did have it as well.
Yes.
Booney did have it as well.
Got through 8 seconds of that one.
I did.
That's a quick pull.
That was a great job by Larry.
I was nervous. I think the pressure is getting to me.
Now, of the next two, you have to get one of them.
Okay.
One of the next two.
Okay.
Your mom, and I don't mean that like as a, I'm saying your mother.
Yes.
Has to know the next one.
Okay.
Sometimes she listens.
Yeah. I'll shoot her.
My mom loves this next one.
She has to know the next one.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll shoot her a text. Maybe. Yes. She normally does.
If she's listening, she should get the next one, and then you should get the one after that. I bet you she liked that one, that next one. I really believe that. Chuck in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chuck?
What's going on, Ty?
All right, how are you?
I'm good. I was calling to talk about the Sixers.
Yes, sir.
I called you yesterday. I was talking to you about the Sixers.
Can you turn down whatever you have in the background there, please?
That's your TV. That's me listening to you. Yeah, they had a nice game yesterday. I saw what I thought I would see. The role players, the ones that I thought would stepped up big time.
Yeah, it was a good, fun game.
Yes, it was. It told me a lot. You know, I look at the Sixers.
Now that part, why did it tell you a lot?
It told me a lot about guys like Shake, D'Anthony Melton, Paul Reed. I just wanted to see them in certain matchups. I wanted to see them, you know, match up. You know, they bench players, but we gonna need them to play strong minutes when we play guys like Milwaukee and
Melton will. Melton will.
Yeah, Melton.
Shake's not gonna play a whole lot. Paul Reed's not gonna play a whole lot. Melton was the player from last night, and obviously Tobias as a starter. But of the backup guys, the guy that showed you the most that can actually carry over when the guys return is Melton. Paul Reed's not going to have those kind of opportunities once Embiid is back.
I'm not talking maybe a lot of minutes, but, you know, our problem has been for recent years is Embiid has to play a lot of minutes throughout the season and throughout, you know, and then the playoffs. So if we can cut his minutes by maybe 5-6 minutes a game and he doesn't have to play so many minutes throughout the season, you know, Embiid has injury problems. His feet, with his feet and legs. And I think Paul Reed and guys like, Montrezl Harrell and guys like that. And also with Tobias, our problem has been injuries for the recent years. So if we can get
all right.
Guys,
well, here is your song, Chuck, for your chance to win Sixers tickets.
I have no idea, Tyrone.
I don't know. My mother is listening, though, so I'm curious if she'll get it.
She's going to get it. That is the Bengals walk like an Egyptian.
Okay. Now, you thought I should have had that one?
No.
Okay, because there was no way I was getting that
I said one of the next two. That was the one you shouldn't have gotten.
Okay.
The one on the other side is the one that you have to get.
Is this for my...
No, it's okay. Not. It's not as blatant, but you should still get it.
Okay.
610-632-0975. We'll be back here. We have to talk about the question of the day. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports, Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. About to get back to the phones. Been talking about mostly Sixers today. Middle of the week. You know, that's the tough thing. It's like our football Friday, but it's not Friday yet. People obviously going to have a lot of football to digest, including the three games. Hold on. Question of the day, because I got a question for Connor that I asked everybody yesterday. I want to see Connor's answer. But we have our question of the day, 610-771-9705. And it's just basically, what are you most thankful for in sports or life right now? 610-771-9705, where today is thankful. Thanksgiving tomorrow. It's always good to be thankful. They always say happier people are ones that start their days with gratitude and things like that. 610-771-9705, you can answer that question. Now, Connor, before we get back to the phone, who do you trust less? Like, do you trust this person? A person who's able to stay awake for all three football games tomorrow, including that night game that none of us asked for.
And here's the times, just so you know. At 12:30, 4:30, and 8:20. So basically, noon to what? Midnight? Noon to 12:30?
On a Thanksgiving, if they can stay awake for all of those games, do you trust that person?
No, I don't.
That's a psycho, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a nap in there somewhere. There's either the pre-dinner nap, there's the, like, the 8 o'clock go to bed early, there's something you got to, like... Man, especially, you're eating all this food, maybe you're taking a walk with your cousins before the meal, like, there are some contributing factors, some beverages will be consumed. No way. You have not done Thanksgiving right if you've watched all three football games.
Right, and that includes somebody, let's say you're on the West Coast, and the game starts at 9 a.m. What the heck are you doing?
No.
To where you don't miss any of that football all the way through to like 8 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah, if you're up ahead of 10 a.m. and you're not cooking Thanksgiving, and if you're cooking, you're not watching the game.
Right.
That doesn't count. There's no like, peeking in from the living room. No.
There's no human being that will be watching all three games.
Well, there are, trustable. But not trustworthy.
Yeah, like you can't trust that person with your money. You can't trust that person with your daughter. Like, you know, wait a minute, what are you doing?
I don't even think there's a guy who can do it. Because if you're on the couch that long, and we all love football, we've been there on Eagles bye weeks where it's like, I'm going to watch all these commercial-free red zone football. And then by 4 o'clock, you take the snooze, no?
Yes. Take a walk with your cousins. Booty wants you to elaborate.
Yeah, that was a little weird. I was thinking the same thing.
Well, sometimes you just gotta catch up with family members. You don't see them too often. And if you have like cousins around, like your same age, sometimes you go ahead and catch up, like away from the parents.
We play football, maybe.
Involves cannabis.
Is that a special formation that they've come up with? Is Marcus Brady helping Jonathan Gannon prepare for that? I'm just talking football.
Yeah.
I'm saying maybe some pickup down at the park.
Yeah, you're taking a walk, you're lighting something, and you're passing it.
Maybe like a rollout left or a rollout right.
All right.
Football-wise.
All right. Fine. Fair enough. We just dig into that. 610-632-0975.
You're not in there. And I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, take a walk with the cousins.
What are you guys so loud for?
Anyway, the question of the day, 610-771-9705. Just share with us anything that you are thankful for. And if it's good, Dylan will screen it out and we'll play it at the end of the program. Meanwhile, the regular phone number is 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phone. Been talking mostly of Sixers day to day after a good victory last night. It actually does feel good. This is the first time in a while where we've really been able to dig into the Sixers due to all the injuries and stuff. And all it took was for Ben Simmons to return the gift that keeps on giving, with him missing foul shots and being mediocre while everybody talks about how great he is everywhere else.
We weren't playing the Nets and we were playing a different team with those bench and the reserve players playing as well, does it feel different?
It does.
Even if it was the Bucks or a better, like a good team?
Oh, no, if it had been a better team, it would have been. But this was him coming back, and he's supposed to be so motivated. And look how nice he is being. He's so relaxed. 11-11-7, minus 9 in a loss. Like, that's the best. You mean to tell me that's the best version of him? When we get to the final Twitter poll, I think we all know. I think we got to put the booze away and just let this thing go. We don't have to like him, but maybe we should just not pay attention to him anymore. I think I'm good on him. Brian Wallingford, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Ty, how are you?
All right. Doing well. Happy Thanksgiving.
Good. I got my radio down. Did I do that right?
Yeah, you're good to go, buddy. Go ahead, talk about the Sixers.
All right, sweet. Yeah, I mean, you know, on the Ben Simmons front, I think we all kind of fell for him. You know, like this magic style, 6'10", can do it all, point guard. But I'm just over it, you know. And, yeah. And last night, even during, if you weren't watching before the game, they showed the introduction. You know, Matt Cortz and Ben Simmons, LSU, and there was hardly a boo. And your buddy Stan Van Gundy was like, "That was not what I thought." And I was like, "I don't care." So that's where I am on the poll question, you know.
Hold on one second. We do have a little bit of breaking news. Aaron Rodgers, his right thumb is broken.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
Hold on. I'm getting the information's flying up now. He's talking right now to
You'll
media members. Aaron Rodgers will continue to play through the broken thumb against the Eagles on Sunday night.
Okay.
So that's the update. He does have a broken thumb, but he will continue to play.
Okay.
All right.
Now go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Hunter, say if it's his throwing hand?
It can't be. I'll have to.
How can you grip a football and throw effectively? It's going to be cold.
It's not, right?
I would imagine it's not.
Yeah, it's going to be cold Sunday night, too. It is his throwing hand.
It is.
So he can say he's playing. How's he going to grip a football?
What?
And then the high on Sunday is 52. The low's 37 and rain. How's he going to grip and throw a football with a broken thumb as a quarterback in the rain in the 30-some degree weather?
Ty, I'm no clue. I was just curious.
No, I'm in real time trying to think. Obviously, the high's in the 50s, but by 8 o'clock at night, it's going to be in the 30s. And he's going to be dropping back with a wet football and a broken thumb.
Oh, yeah, this is right thumb. Yeah, I should have saw that right off the rip. That's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, like he's right. Put everybody in the box. Go ahead and throw. Broken thumb, wet football. Yeah. Like, come on. Here's your song, though, Brian. Because I want you to get a chance to go to six.
Super fast.
Yeah.
I think one of these times, maybe when Jen's back, like it'd be cool if you didn't know the songs.
Oh.
Like you got to save people.
Oh.
You
know?
I mean, all right.
We could do that.
We could do that.
Hunter and Ricky are always on the spot, and it seems like, yeah.
That's right. You can say it. They're always letting people down.
That's
it's okay.
Right. Put Ty on the spot.
Yeah, I do well under pressure. Well, all right. Yeah, sure. We'll do that.
It's a good wrinkle.
We'll do it. No, we're going to do it. We'll do it, yeah.
All right. Here's them.
Yeah. Come on. Dance for me, man.
I have no idea, Hunter.
Yeah, I don't have it either. I'm gonna be disappointing.
That is next. Too close.
Yeah, it's
you don't
job.
Know that song?
Bad job by me.
You know that song?
I do know the song, but when it starts playing, I didn't really connect with it. I know the song.
I don't know if you know the song.
No, I know the song.
What are you batting today? Like one fifty?
I got Outkast. That's it.
Man.
But to be fair, I mean, a lot of them are not in my range.
That one was.
So I'm batting 500 in my range.
No. The Destiny's Child should have been in your range.
I want
the Reese Hoskins press conference.
You did, though.
Someone got that one.
But you did.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
No, you did it.
That doesn't matter.
I want the Reese Hoskins press conference where he says, I'm batting 500 on balls in my zone.
Yeah. Well,
I want to see how you react to that one.
Yeah.
Let's see how that goes.
How does that go over on
the best show ever?
Yeah. So now Dylan even throwing you under the bus. Hunter got one hit off a position player today.
Well, guess what? Everyone has a bad day at the office. I'm having a rough day at the office.
You know
I'm thinking about the holidays.
Now,
you know what I'm saying?
This one is from, you know what? We're going to play. You know what? Fine. Jerome Elkins Park, he's upset with Doc Rivers today. So we'll talk to him on the other side here. And then we'll be wrapping up then. One more big segment. It's a long segment, though, so plenty of time to get in. 610-632-0975 and our final Twitter poll as well here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Five, The Fanatic.
You know what this song is?
Never heard of it in my life.
Didn't think so. 97.5 The Fanatic. Oh, come NBC on. Philadelphia best show ever. 610-632-0975. Let's get the final Twitter poll numbers from Connor Thomas in for Jed Skorda.
Thanks, Ty. Our final Twitter poll numbers is always at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. Last night, the national broadcast was upset that the Sixers crowd didn't boo Ben Simmons as much as they were expecting. If you think that was the case, why? Over 560 votes on this. And our winner, 50% saying he's not worth the boos, followed by 25% saying game wasn't important, 13% enough time has passed, and 12% the Sixers were winning. So, as much as we expected.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. 610-632-0975. And, all right. Jerome in Elkins Park. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Jerome.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Day before pre-Thanksgiving, and the day before, and the day after. I want to congratulate the 76ers on a job well done. And I don't qualify that with the fact of whether or not the other team was dissatisfied or uninterested. If you didn't want to win the game, maybe you shouldn't have played or went out there, come up with some kind of illness. The Sixers did want to play. They did win the game.
Who didn't want to play?
Yeah, I think the Brooklyn Nets wanted to play. I think the Sixers just kicked their ass.
Well, you know, look, nobody expected this game to go the way it did. I'm going to be honest. I didn't think it was. But I was pleasantly surprised that it did. Tobias Harris came in there, and he played probably his best crutched type of performance when it mattered. And Paul Reed, I want to see him more. My thing is, like Ty had mentioned, the fact of that I'm going to be on Doc's case, or Glenn's case, is the fact that this situation just, he doesn't initiate stuff. He doesn't develop players. You know, something happens, it falls in his lap, and he's going to go with whatever because that's all I got. You know?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I honestly, personally, would have ran into the season with Bassey and Reed as my bench big men.
I wouldn't have got Trez.
Same.
I wouldn't have got Trez, but that wasn't just up to him.
Well, but look, he has a say. He has a say. He didn't fight
right.
for that.
He had a say, but he doesn't have only
well,
say.
Well, but the tie. You know, in fact, he didn't initiate. He didn't attempt.
But let me ask you.
Didn't attempt what?
He didn't attempt to try to take and push that.
Push
or,
what?
Or say, I would like, if all possibilities, to continue to develop these players. Because I think I see some value in them.
Well, let me ask you this, Jerome. Is the difference in this team winning the NBA championship Harrell or Bassey? You know what I mean?
The third string centers.
You know
the
what?
Third string centers.
Well, you can look at it this way.
There's only one way to look at it, Jerome.
No.
The third string centers.
There is no guarantee that you are going. There are other teams, Ty, also, who think that they are better, are able to do what they're supposed to.
With their third stringers?
You're not even talking about
a team
gotten past the second round.
Right. This is their third string center. If there's no Embiid and you're only going with them, you got no chance, Jerome.
But that's not Ty. I'm assuming that Embiid is going to be able to play.
So why do you need a third string center then very important? Paul Reed's the backup.
That was. I'm saying a backup center that you're going to need. He's so not going to be able
Paul
to play.
Paul Reed is going to be here.
Well, did Doc call? You keep bringing up the second round thing. And look, they're getting a game seven. They're getting a game six. It's not like they're super far off. But I didn't think they lost last year's postseason because Doc Rivers and some deep bench guys. Like, I think Embiid needed surgery.
What I am saying is that the fact that they haven't gotten as far as this, he has to be responsible for something.
So why are you talking about it today after arguably the best victory of the year? Why are you talking about last season today, Jerome?
Because they play a back-to-back. They play tonight, correct?
Right. Why are you mad at Doc today about last season?
What? Because he still hasn't done anything.
They won last night. Jerome, none of this call. I let him go on forever. Have a good Thanksgiving. None of that made sense.
I don't even blame Doc for why they lost last year. That's the thing that I keep having trouble with.
I didn't think he was great.
No, I didn't think he was great. I'm not saying he was great, but is that I look at the players more than I do in the NBA when it comes to the final situations. Did he lose them the series last year?
No, but he's mad about the Miami series the day after they beat the Nets. And he's very fixated on third string center.
I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know. I mean, I don't love Doc by any means. If they change the head coach, I'm not pissed off whatsoever. But I think that in this league in particular, a lot of frustration goes to that person more than it needs to. At times, look, it's warranted to be upset with not having players grow and the young kids and not playing them. At the end of Brett Brown, it ran its course. Like, there's plenty of times where it is the time to look at the head coach. I think we go there too quickly in this league.
And too often as it invalidates the argument when you call in after a game like last night and you want to discuss the head coach and what he's done wrong. We haven't forgotten what Doc Rivers did, but we're also not fixated on it in the moment because of the win last night. Just enjoy what they do well while also critiquing the coach. It's really not that difficult.
Doc pantsed Nick Nurse last year, and everyone heading into that series thought that Nick Nurse was going to pants Doc. That's my point. It's like, I'm not telling you he's the greatest. He's not as bad as people say that he is. There's definitely things I'm going to bring up throughout the season that'll frustrate me, but he's not my number one issue when looking at why they lost last year. It's the health of the big man because he got elbowed in the face and needed two hands.
And he should have been out of that game, but that's another
Doc could have had him out of that game.
Okay, yeah, fine.
And Siakam could not have intentionally elbowed him in the face.
That's also true.
Which was on purpose, and then their commentator didn't have to celebrate it. That's why
Harden wasn't healthy.
Right, Harden wasn't healthy. Maxey has to be a better player this year than he was last year, still a young player. So there was a lot of things.
Was Danny Green banged up in that series by the end? Or
He got hurt in the last game.
It was the last
game. B got pushed, and then the B fell into his leg.
This
year, Niang laid on the ground and then twisted Embiid's foot this year. Zach in Northern Liberties, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Zach.
Tyrone, what up?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I heard you talk about Melton. I want to talk about Shake.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Shake. I think Shea should be the sixth man.
Over Melton?
Yeah, over Melton. Had a good game.
Hold on. Why? Melton?
Why?
Like, Melton was better last night. They were both fine, but Melton was better last night.
Yeah, but what about the game before that?
When Melton is a good basketball player. That was a very good trade by Daryl Morey to get him. He's helping this team.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Makes the three.
Game.
Right. My thing is I don't know why you're like kind of pitting them against one another, but why has Shake passed Melton? I just don't know why.
Because we've seen Shake drop 30. We've seen Shake drop.
Yeah, but he's very inconsistent. I think Melton might be more consistent. His ceiling might not be as. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of Melton yet. I'm very intrigued, but I like Melton more than I like Melton right now, personally.
I love
right
Shake.
Right now. I'm a big Shake fan. I've always been a big Shake fan. All right.
Showing that he's a useful NBA player. Like, he's showing that he's stepping up with the guards out. He's playing well.
All right. But
Zach, how about we do this? Doc Rivers should make sure Shake and Melton get minutes even when Harden and Maxey return. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Maybe no Cork Miles.
All right, yeah.
Like,
if anyone's inconsistent, it's Kirk Miles.
Well, no, he's consistent.
He's consistent on thinking he's dropping buckets.
Yeah, he's very consistent, unfortunately. Here is your song for a chance to win Sixers tickets for Monday.
All right, let's do it. I don't know. Lionel Richie something? I don't know.
No.
Yeah. I do not know.
This that baby is Billy Ocean. Get out of my dreams. Yeah, he knew it. Get into my car.
Not on my playlist.
Bit of a stalkery type song.
It was a little weird of an intro. Yeah, that's some heavy breathing there going on.
Because he wants to have relations.
Well, there's other ways to go about it.
Well, have to be as forceful about it. You could ask this nicely. Works. Would this you works. Please leave my dreams and possibly come with me somewhere?
No.
Maybe you just slide into the DMs.
No, a little longer. Know? No, he says, get in my car.
Maybe we could grab dinner sometime, and then in my car I could take you home.
This is from a man that is very polished in that area.
Yeah, he's out in them streets.
Connor?
He's out in them streets.
How the DMs look?
I don't know about very polished. That's between me and the DMs. That's why they're direct messages.
What are you doing?
They're not indirect messages.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a comment on a post.
What do you think? We're in the room by ourselves here?
Yeah, what are you doing, buddy?
You know what we're doing here. You see the red light over here? Like, you trying to get me in trouble?
Yeah, what's the
deal? I didn't say you had to say who it was. I just asked it was.
Or if anything exists.
Well, we all know it exists.
I don't know what exists.
You have no idea what a single man's DMs looks like.
I don't know. I know what his outgoing likely looks like.
See, and now this is what you do to me. Don't you turn your head my way. This is what you set me up for.
I didn't set anybody up.
Yeah, you did. I'll tell you what, they're not empty. They're not full, but they're not empty.
There you go.
It's a good spot to be.
That's not a bad place. I'm saying he's probably getting some responses.
That's right.
I don't think he's getting 100%.
Is he hitting better than I'm hitting today on the song?
It's hard not to be. Yeah. It's hard not to be.
Yeah.
A batting over 086.
I mean, goodness. Man has some experience in life. 610-632-0975. JR in Wilmington. JR in Wilmington. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, JR?
Tyrone, how you doing? Hunter, hello.
How are you?
What's up?
Look, into the holiday spirit, the best show ever, I propose hashtag lose the question mark.
Thank you.
For those,
I got to be honest with you. I never wanted the question mark.
I think your marketing and promotion people might not like my comment, but if you enjoy Philly sports, best show ever, helps everyone enjoy Philly sports.
Thank you. I think they would like that.
Hashtag lose the question mark.
Thank you guys. Have a great holiday weekend.
Best to Ricky, Bo, and Jen.
Yes. Now hold on, JR. I want you to get a chance to win these Sixers tickets, so you get a song. Here you go.
I can't do it. Sorry.
It's Andy Gibb, Shadow Dancing. Have a good holiday.
But let me say this. The fact that I'm being relied on so heavily today, it's not just me that's batting so low. So are the people. We can't just trash me all day without realizing that there's a reason I'm in this predicament to begin with.
So it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, and you're trying to turn this on to callers?
A little bit, yeah. That's bad by me. Yeah. This guy just actually praised the show beautifully.
Absolutely.
And here I am.
He calls in and says, man, I love the show. Remove the question mark. That's all I want to say. And your response to that is, man, I'm playing bad, but he's playing worse.
Yep. Mm. That's a bad move by me.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. Donovan McNabb?
Okay, still got some time to keep up, to make up for it.
I'm embarrassed.
Is there?
It is time, because we're about to talk to John and Perkasy about the Eagles offense. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, John?
Yeah, what's going on, Tyrone? How you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm living the dream, bro.
Good.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that the Eagles need to figure out their offense.
Well, they just brought in a nice consultant.
Yes, and also, I don't think they're going to be doing that double and triple tight end stuff. Tim McManus earlier said that they obviously did that too much. You saw one drive, they were first and 35 after two penalties by each of the two tight ends. Stoll's been playing all year. By both of the second and third stringers, they both had penalties on the same drive.
And didn't Jason Kelce, our MVP,
he snapped it over, mess it up, and make mistakes.
It's not perfect.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the Kelce. I'm not worried about Kelce. He made a mistake.
Come on. Our defense kept us in the game. We won by 1 point. We should have won by 2 touchdowns.
Well, it doesn't matter how they won. They won.
And
you're right.
Kelsey is a great player. He had one bad snap.
Oh, Kelsey. I love Jason Kelsey. He's a hero with Philadelphia.
But you're all upset about one bad snap.
No, I'm not upset about that. I'm about the illegal man downfield.
That was the refs missing. A guy, he goes to block. No.
I also think because the way they run their offense with the RPO, that you're going to have to bite the bullet on some of those because of, are you handing it off, are you not handing it off? And then, you know, the linemen can't look behind them to see exactly what's going on. So I think that's just the nature of the offense.
Where's A.J. Brown? Where's A.J. Brown?
He had 60 yards last game, I think.
And a fumble.
So
what? Yeah. Where's his fumbling? It's not like, yeah.
I don't know. You seem a little too negative right now.
No, I'm positive. I love the Birds. Oh. I love everything Philly. Philly.
All right, well, here's your song there, John. Oh.
They don't like me. Oh, come on. You're going to put me on the spot like this? Can't you give me some R&B or something?
You got a backup.
I think I have it.
Okay.
I'm not going to write you a love song.
I know it.
That is correct.
Yeah, all right.
Sort of.
It's
called Love Song.
Hey, there we go. We got two hits, boys.
Saw you jamming to that in there.
Two hits?
You a big Sarah Bareilles fan?
No.
Yeah,
no.
He is.
No, I don't. I honestly didn't know.
That's your wheelhouse.
I know your wife likes that song.
Oh, yeah.
I know your wife likes that song.
What's the name of this genre that we have her under? Because I don't know what it's called, yeah, but we know
Brode's
what
music.
It is.
It's Brode's music right
now. Yeah, I ain't Brode's.
No, Matt, no, like no, Colby, no. Calais, is, Bubbly is
yeah,
right up your alley.
She is Brode's now.
Well, she gets Brode's, but I can't get Brode's?
She's more Brode's than you.
How?
You're Hunter.
How are you defining this?
Because
by batting
we don't
over
have to
100.
Necessarily say her name to like protect her because she's a civilian. You're Hunter. She's Brode's.
Whatever.
She's Brode's.
You get options here. Hunter, Brode's, Brody. You can do whatever you want here.
She's
Unless
more
Unless you can't call me. What did the guy call me yesterday? Tyler? I think he went with?
Yeah, Tyler. Ah, then he got mad at me. But, yeah. All right. So we only have time to take Dwayne and Mike for a song before we get to the question of the day. So, Dwayne, I appreciate you calling. I want you to get a chance to win the Sixers tickets. So here is your song.
Spent 24 hours anymore.
Do you know it, Dwayne?
No, I don't.
You know it?
No, 24 hours?
Oh, yes. Come on.
Girls what? Like You, Maroon 5.
That's a great song. That's all a recent right. one, too.
And now, Mike, in Germantown, here is your song for a chance to qualify for Sixers tickets.
Okay, let's go.
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you. Bermuda.
Dang, no, I don't know.
Do you know it?
Kokomo?
That is correct.
Yes, sir, Kokomo. That's right. I couldn't believe you put that in there, Ty.
Because you know how much I hate the song.
I know, but I love it.
I know.
Big Kokomo guy. Nothing says Thanksgiving like a little Kokomo.
Goodness, so many things say Thanksgiving more than Kokomo.
It's top 10,
anyway,
at least.
Booty was knocking about it apart. All right, so everybody, let's now get to our question of the day.
This is the question of the day. Let's go to the answering machine.
The phone number is 610-771-9705. We're just asking you, what are you thankful for, either in sports or in life or both? Just about what you're thankful for. Let's see what the answers are today.
Today I'm thankful for Jalen Hurts. And the reason why I'm thankful for him is because he took the initiative. He improved from last year. He wasn't great last year. He came in, he put in the work. Now he's an MVP candidate. We saw the guy last night, Ben Simmons, right? Had all the potential in the world, didn't want to improve, didn't want to do anything to get better. Jalen Hurts did, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful for him today.
That is a very, very good call and a good point. Booty is right about one thing. Connor is the first person to ever say out loud, I'm a big Kokomo guy.
Why are we back on Kokomo? We've moved on.
No,
different
we have
segment.
Not moved. We've never moved on.
I could be a fan of Kokomo if I want to be.
Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm a Kokomo? Like, you're a Kokomo guy.
No shot.
Like, that means he's going to be out there with his shirt off.
Tonight?
With a drink. Put Kokomo on the juice bar.
Give me a Mai Tai. Can I not get a pina colada here?
I'm thankful for my health at my advanced age.
and with the health of my wife, children, and grandchildren. You can't buy health. I'm thankful for the most American of holidays, where a man can eat, drink, watch football, swap lives with family and friends, and there are no presents.
There it is. There's nothing wrong with that sentiment at all. You know, my trip is in limbo.
What?
The wife is feeling a little under the weather.
No way.
A little bit.
What's your instant reaction? Like a yes? Or is it damn it?
I don't know. It's a lot of stuff we can't get refunded on with the money. But honestly, it's just like, do you want to travel sick?
No.
I'd love to have to make a decision when I get home.
Came down with COVID last week and then was diagnosed with low-grade lung cancer this week. But I'm thankful that tomorrow's Thanksgiving. We just move on. Happy Thanksgiving.
Wow, that's tough. That's tough. Man. I mean, I hope he's all right.
Yeah, wish you the best for sure.
Yeah. Do we have any more?
I'm thankful for y'all. I'm a truck driver. You know, I would say I live a very lonely life, but, you know, you guys make it a little bit less lonelier, man. I appreciate y'all.
Man, I feel for you, man. Listen, Thanksgiving, it's tough. What's next on the radio side?
On the radio side, we got the Temple Coaches Show.
Temple Coaches Show and on TV.
And we've got, let me pull it up right now. It's on me. See, this is what happens when Jen takes vacation early.
We got a couple seconds.
Yeah, of course we do. Next on NBC Philadelphia, following the best show ever. When I check my guide, is Bird's Huddle.
Bird's Huddle here, and we'll talk to everybody. Thanks to Dylan the Booty. We thank to everybody. Well, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to everybody on Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.